about.
People, life could be worse. Think about it. It could be worse.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You can't let a girl feel good about herself. It will backfire on you. Every compliment has to be backhanded. Oh, I like your dress, but I'd like it more if you had prettier hair.
I don't even know what to say about this boy.
It's been a week since the election. How you doing?
Well, I've been sleeping like a baby.
Yeah.
Sleep 2 hours, wake up and cry. Sleep 2 hours, wake up and cry.
And there's Ed Begley Jr. Aren't you coming, Ed?
I prefer a vehicle that doesn't hurt Mother Earth. It's a go-kart powered by my own sense of self-satisfaction.
And now...
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you're about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Our feature presentation.
All right, party people. It's another new day on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today is Tuesday. It is the 26th of April, Angus. How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm good. Thank you.
What's going on?
Not much. It's blowing wind here.
Say that again?
That was well said.
Yes.
In the middle of the night, the wind just kicked up, and Beer Bug and I were just talking. We both, like, first I thought it was raining, and he said he thought there was a fan on. It was crazy how much it was blowing.
You thought someone had moved a giant fan onto your front lawn?
Yeah.
Beer Mug, is that what you thought?
That's what I thought last night, Bean.
Okay. Because it was windy.
It was very windy.
Really windy. It's still really windy.
Are you going to be able to survive that? Is that something you can live through?
I'm a little scared of the winds.
Are you going to have to get in your car and drive really far away because that's so scary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's head south.
Absolutely.
My God. Hey, no monkey today. And why is it so tough for us to feel the full team here? I'm starting to wonder about that. Why is it so impossible for us to get everybody on the show at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, first of all, there's a fair amount of vacation. Let's be honest.
And
the
big, bad, mean boss won't let us take it all at the same time like
right?
we should.
Right. So that's one problem. And then everyone's been sick so much.
Power through.
I didn't get sick. You're talking to the wrong people. Beer Mug and I.
I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm just saying
in
general.
Here. You know, and then I had that little death in the family. So that was my deal.
Yeah. When you killed all those people.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this would be an interesting time to visit. CareerCast is a company about which I know nothing, and every year they do a list of the 10 most, well, they actually have a much bigger list. I'll just read the 10. The 10 most stressful jobs in America, which I thought was interesting. And I was really surprised not only with some of the jobs that are on this list, but some of the jobs that are not on this list in the top 10, the ones that I would automatically assume would be, you know, like, oh, I don't know, police officers and firemen, you know,
yes,
those types of people.
First
I would
two.
Think that would be the first things I would think of. But here's – apparently, first of all, it is Stress Awareness Month, which I also did not know. But they asked respondents to rate 11 stress factors found in the workplace, including outlook and growth potential, travel, deadlines, working in the public eye, competitiveness, physical demands, environmental conditions, hazards encountered, putting your own or others' lives at risk, meeting the public. So all sorts of factors worked in here. And here's what they came up with for the top 10 most stressful jobs. And again, very surprised by this list. For instance, number 10. Real estate agent.
Really?
Now, does that seem stressful to you? I mean, I guess.
Yes.
I can think of some factors, like, for instance, you're pretty much on call from early in the morning till late at night whenever people can or want to see homes.
Right, and weekends.
And weekends, too. And also, the realtors that I've known, that's their income. They don't get a salary. They only make money if they sell houses.
Right.
Which I would imagine in the last couple of years might be tough.
And the other thing is you can work and work and work and have everything ready to go, have spent a couple of months with two people trying to buy something, and then it all falls apart at the very last minute.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. Yeah, good point. All right, so that's number 10. Number 9, totally makes sense, EMT.
Yeah.
Talk about the stress of being on the scene and having to save a life. And if you screw up, people die. Number 8, stockbroker.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Totally get that. I mean, you're investing other people's money. And you're guessing.
Yes.
And it could go horribly wrong, and you could lose millions of dollars for somebody with the wrong move. Now, here's one I don't get at all. Most stressful jobs, according to this survey. Architect, number 7. Oh, it's so hard to sit here in my office and draw.
Well,
really?
Does surprise me.
I guess it could be stressful, you know, with working with the building inspectors and all that in the city.
Could get
Does
stressful.
The architect do any of that? Is that part of the architect's job?
I think they oversee some of it. I mean, they're building it.
I mean, I can see, you know, maybe the stress would be your plans aren't quite right. You build a house, it falls down. But I don't know. I was just surprised to see that, especially ahead of some of the occupations I mentioned that aren't on the list. Architect, more stressful than firefighter?
Yeah, no way.
Number six, advertising account executive. Well, look at Don Draper. I mean, just trying to juggle checks has got to be stressful. You got a wife at home and you got all these girlfriends in the city. I can see why that would be tough. All right, this one. Tell me about newscaster. A newscast. Now, it looks like with the accompanying material here, they're talking about people who do TV news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Look, you sit and you read for a living. That's what you do. Most of these newscasters aren't asked to be journalists. They're not asked to ad-lib much. They're basically just reading a script. I would argue that this job is more stressful than a news anchor's job on television.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Except when there's a car chase. And that's just good fun. Right? That's not stress.
Number four, photojournalist.
In a war zone.
Yeah, I would think in a war zone would be the only case. But if you're the guy who has to go out and shoot butterfly pictures for the LA Times, no. Not tough. Number three, senior corporate executive. A lot of stress there. A lot of benefits, of course, too, but a lot of stress there.
Yeah.
Number two, public relations officer. Well, for Lindsay Lohan, yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah, number two, public relations officer. Just because you're constantly asked to lie every day, all the time, always, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be stressful, sure.
Because that's your job, is to put the best possible spin on everything that you're asked.
Just to cover up people's messes.
Yep, and I would imagine at some point that would start to eat away at you.
Yeah.
Any guesses as to what the most stressful job is? Number one on the list.
Surgeon?
Surgeon is an outstanding guess. I was shocked not to see more people in the medical profession on this list, like doctors, for instance. I know they mentioned EMTs, but you think doctors would be on the list.
Gary Busey's agent?
According to CareerCast, pilot is the most stressful job.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
For an instant. Like, most of the time,
I think
it's not.
Well.
And then all of a sudden it is.
No, I think. I think at all times it could be very stressful. I mean, you have 80, 90 people in your hands.
Try 400, by the way.
Or more. Yeah. True.
But I would think that, I mean, yeah, I would imagine it would be stressful at the beginning, but doesn't it get into just extreme routine at one point? If your job is being a pilot and you fly every single day from A to B, you just get there, you go through the routine, and as Lisa alluded to, the machinery does 99% of the work. You've just got to set it up right.
Yeah.
So they list that as being the most stressful job in America, though. So
unless you're Sully. Sullenberger.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Sully who lands in the Hudson, right? You can do anything, right?
Yeah.
More stressful than air traffic controller, apparently, though. Flying the planes rather
than
keeping track of the planes.
Well, that's because they're sleeping.
That's true. Yeah, you get a lot of naps if you're air traffic controller. You don't have to worry about that. All right. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting list. Now, though, let's look ahead toward today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
All you're doing is spewing garbage.
Actually, not today. Ralph Garman is desperately in love with a woman that he met on the internet. I hasn't actually met her yet. I'm sure we will. But he found her, and she is a little songbird. And he's going to be presenting some audio from her. And you've never heard anyone sing like her. You've never seen anyone that looks like her. So we'll bring you up to speed with the angel with two teeth, as she's being known around here.
Oh,
can't wait.
Also, funny man Dimitri Martin has a new book out that looks hilarious. We'll talk to Dimitri. He's always a great guest. Believe it or not, we've got more royal wedding coverage, but it's almost over because the wedding is this Friday. We've got a brand new edition of Bean's Death Corner on the program today. Some fantastic death news today.
Excellent.
You guys are going to love this. It'll either depress the crap out of you or you'll be so happy with your own life once you hear what's happened to other people. Funny man Jeff Beecher in studio today. He's the guy who runs a very successful show, has been in Las Vegas for a long time, now moving around the country, called Beecher's Madhouse. It's a bizarre combination of little people and comedians and hot chicks. It just has everything. So we'll talk to Jeff about that. TV's Batman Adam West on the program today, talking about the upcoming Anaheim Comic Con. We got that coming up. We'll introduce you to the calmest guy in the world and some of the more ridiculous royal wedding coverage. Oh, did I mention that already?
Yeah.
Royal wedding coverage. We got all that coming up too. And also Perry Farrell talking about Lollapalooza. The lineup just went up about 9 hours ago. Another fantastic lineup for Lollapalooza. And we'll find out from Perry why he won't leave goddamn Chicago. Look, it's great for people in Chicago. Spread it around a little bit, Perry. So we'll talk to him coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next. Congratulations to Albert Valdez from Los Angeles. This hour's winner to take over Six Flags Magic Mountain with K-Rock this Friday night as Stryker and His Tail broadcast live. Your chance to win coming up. It's 5:48. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Bean, I'm a commercial real estate broker, and I work nationally. We are paid commission only. During a recent business trip, I hit 8 airports in 7 days, had meetings in Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. We make these kinds of road trips often. Our transactions involve buyers, sellers, financial institutions, appraisers, government regulatory approval. It's easier to herd cats. Stress is our middle name. We should be higher on that list than EMTs. If they lose a patient, they still get paid. That says David,
wow,
who writes that on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
You're
a selfish prick, David.
Well, he brings up a good point, though. I mean, believe me, I wouldn't want that job. I would be super stressed out by that job if I had to juggle all that stuff every day.
If they lose a patient, they still get paid, he ended with.
But that's true.
But it's a person's life.
Yeah, they'll make more.
Cops get a chance to be shot in the face every time they pull somebody over for a traffic ticket.
Yeah, why was it?
You, realtor.
Why were they on the list, by the way, and news anchors were? What's that about? I don't get that.
That's a honked up list.
Well, they claim to be experts. They put out this list every year.
They claim to be experts. Is this the Van Patten family we're talking about again?
Perry Farrell created Lollapalooza 20 years ago. They have a phenomenal lineup for this year, later this summer in Chicago. We'll talk to Perry coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Hey! It sure is the wind blow here now. I'm sorry, that's the way we're starting every segment. I wasn't sure. Oh, love is in the air as we look at the showbiz news. Rob Schneider and his girlfriend, Patricia Arce, got married last Saturday at a private ceremony in Beverly Hills.
Somebody married Rob Schneider?
Yeah, can you imagine? Wow. Praying for that third Deuce Bigelow movie, I guess. Come on, Deuce. I was saying that this morning, actually. former Laguna Beach star Kristen Cavallari is engaged to Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. Apparently, Jay popped the question during a weekend getaway in Cabo San Lucas. The pair has been dating since last fall. And I guess now that the lockout's been lifted, Kristen figured it's okay to get married to this guy.
Right, because he'll have a salary.
That's right. Kevin James and his wife, Stefiana, gave birth to their third child, a boy named Cannon. Cannon with a K, by the way.
Oh, that's different.
Cannon. Cannon James.
Cannon with a K?
Yeah. Man Cannon, they're going to call him. They have already got two kids, a daughter, Sienna Marie, and Shay. Who's...
All right, they need to stop it.
Shay, Sienna Marie, and Cannon.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
Well, I've got a list right here. Also, congratulations to Toni Collette of the United States of Terra. She gave birth to a son named Arlo Friday in Australia. She and her husband, David Galafasi, have a 3-year-old daughter named Sage. Sage and Arlo.
What the hell's going on now, here?
Those kids, well, it's been going on for some time. Celebrities just don't know how to name their babies. And before you start getting all gooey out there, ladies, saying, oh, babies, they sound so good. I want to have babies just like Kevin James and Toni Collette. Talk to Jessica Alba first. Jessica Alba said in an interview this week that her body just isn't the same anymore after childbirth. Said now that she's got 2-year-old Honor in her life. She has lumpy cellulite and saggy breasts, she says.
Well, she should be arrested for what she did to her body then. That's like going into the Louvre and throwing paint on the Mona Lisa.
Let's go. Let's get a SWAT team.
Yeah, let's
go.
Do that.
Let's bust down the door.
Seriously, shouldn't somebody have stepped in and said, hey, you, Alba, adopt?
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of coalition.
Or surrogate or something. I mean, there are ways to avoid that. Come on. What is she thinking?
We've got to talk to NATO. Something's up. Charlie Sheen, I guess, desperate now, realizing that he's fallen off the front page and nobody really cares anymore. Now taking a new tact to his winning. He's announced that he was once buzzed by a UFO while enjoying some time on the beach in Malibu.
That's how you get press.
Yeah. An alien ship cruised by very quickly over his head while he was on the beach in Malibu. Now he's talking about his UFO experience. Reportedly going to add it to the show as he goes around the country with his Torpedo of Truth tour.
He's got to be nearly done with that, right?
Yeah, it was only 21 dates to begin with, and he's got to be halfway through at least, right?
I wonder what he's... he's going to do when he's finished with that. I wonder how he's going to continue to make headlines and make money once that's over.
I'd go back to drugs if I was him. The only thing he ever really did well.
That's me not on drugs, bro.
Well, I want you back on drugs. Tonight's the night. NBC debuts their new music competition series, The Voice.
Really? Because they haven't promoted it much.
No. They're doing a show called The Voice over on NBC.
It's pretty low-key.
Hosted by Carson Daly, Christina Aguilera, Adam Levine, CeeLo Green, and Blake Shelton will be your judges. Here's the thing I didn't realize. The winner picks up $100,000 in a recording contract with Universal Records. $100,000.
Yeah.
Seems a little lackluster compared to some of the other shows.
When X Factor is giving a $5 million prize.
Yeah, I might hold out. If I had to choose between the two auditions, I think I'm going to go with the $5 million audition.
So let me ask you a question that I asked Carson Daly yesterday on this show, Ralph.
All right.
With all of these shows, there's Platinum Superstar coming out this summer, hosted by Jewel.
Yes.
There's American Idol, obviously, the granddaddy. There's X Factor. Now there's The Voice. Do you think the talent pool is deep enough in this country that there's that much quality, undiscovered talent just that hasn't had the break yet?
Well, all they need is one, right?
Oh, yeah, there was another one called The One. That one was on, too. That got canceled.
But all these shows just need one.
But do you really
talented
think there's...
person to crown.
Look, you've seen American Idol, and there are some seasons, like last season, where none of the people in the top 10 are even decent enough to get recording contracts and be hit artists.
Right, but then there's like this season where the top 12, I thought, were all really strong.
I just can't imagine there's that many people out there that just need a break that are that good. I just can't. I mean, there's so many shows now.
Well, I guess it depends on the age limit, you know? I think there are some that have been around for a long time, like America's Got Talent is open to any age. So people who have been struggling for years, I think, could finally get their big break, which is kind of cool. And on these shows, whether it's 15, 16, whatever the age limit is, a whole new crop of singers is turning that age every year. So I guess they'll have new people to choose from in that regard.
Yeah. You going to watch tonight?
What's that, The Voice?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I will check it out, absolutely, because I want to see, first, I want to see how Christina is as a judge, first of all, because I've enjoyed her music in the past, but she's not someone I've really spent any time listening to, interviewed, or anything else. I have no idea what she's like as a person.
Right.
And I was so surprised by Jennifer Lopez this year that I think it's worth checking out just to see what they're like as judges.
Yeah.
I'll be judging the judges more than I will the talent tonight. On Fox, by the way, opposite the show, they are doing a 90-minute episode of Glee featuring the music of Lady Gaga.
Oh.
So there's some counter-programming. And speaking of X Factor, Simon Cowell continues to stoke the fire regarding rumors that Paula Abdul will be joining his show as a judge when it debuts in the fall. He said, nothing is finalized yet, but Simon told Deadline.com, I missed her the second she left Idol. Always loved working with her, even though she can be a pain. So she still may be a judge.
Screechy and annoying.
And she may be that, too. Katie Couric's leaving the CBS News. It's official. It's not a surprise. Her pending departure has been talked about for weeks in the media. Speculation over who will take over the anchor desk on CBS Evening News. New York Times is saying that Scott Pelley, a 60 Minutes correspondent, will be tapped by the network, but remains to be seen. I'm still hoping for Kevin. It'd be great. None Iraqis problems.
It used to be that was the prestige marquee job at a network, was being the anchor. Yeah. Back when guys did it for 30 years, you know, that was the job, to be Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather at CBS. But now now people are speculating, Scott Pelley, that's a step down. You know, you're a 60 Minutes correspondent now. Why go off and be an anchor of a show that nobody watches on the network anymore?
I think from our perspective, that's true. But for a journalist, that is still the crown jewel. That's what you're shooting for. If you are a television journalist, that's who you want to be. That's what you want to do. I think Katie Couric's leaving just because she was less than successful in that position. I think it began to be a bit of an embarrassment for her. I think she can put more luster back on her career by doing something else.
5 years in, she hasn't been able to move the needle at all, really.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what Scott Pelley can do. I think he's good. I've seen him in 60 Minutes.
He's real good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV icon Carol Burnett is 78 years old today. Actor Jet Li.
Hi!
Hey!
Turns 48. Singer T-Boz celebrates
her
41st birthday.
Wasn't she one of the TLC chicks?
That's right. That's where I knew that name from. Jordana Brewster's 31. Channing Tatum is also 31. Tyler Labine from Reaper. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
33 years old.
You know, I was afraid of that show, though, so I don't. I didn't watch it very much.
Bean, don't fear the Reaper.
Oh!
It's easy to do when Kevin's not around. And Tom Welling. Yes, Clark Kent from Smallville. Tom Welling, who this season, in a matter of weeks, will be putting on the Superman costume. Ah, be still my pants. I cannot wait.
A long time coming.
Oh, I cannot wait for him to put on the tights. He's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk with Showbiz Bean.
From the Grammy-winning album Brothers Black Keys. If you like that album, by the way, do yourself a favor and go back and pick up some of the earlier work, for his band has been great for a long, long time. It's 106.7 KROQ at 610.
Here we go! Just because! Coming down the mountain, Jane says, under the
as the band behind Jane's Addiction, Porno for Pyros, Satellite Party, and lots of great solo and guest work, there's a lot of reasons to love Perry Farrell. And also, creating a little something called Lollapalooza that celebrates its 20th anniversary this summer. Always a pleasure to welcome Mr. Farrell back to the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Perry, how are you, man?
Bean, what's happening?
This must be the kind of morning that you are so relieved that the lineup is finally out there and you don't have to worry about calling people and trying to beg them to do your show anymore.
Well, you know, I'm out here in Chicago, and the weather is quite different from what I left in Los Angeles. It was raining really hard, and the weather is so severe out here.
Yeah,
it took me aback a little bit. But we had a great time last night putting the lineup out, and you know, partying with the people in Chicago.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm relieved, but I'm tired.
I bet you are, especially to be getting up bright and early to be talking to us. Is this the type of thing that you try to keep it under wraps, and you're terrified in the weeks and months before the Lollapalooza announcement that everything's going to get out there before you have a chance to bring it all together officially?
You know, there's a couple of reporters that take great pride in leaking the lineup every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we tracked them down and we finally found out where the leak was coming from. And we, you know, begged the guy, please just don't do it anymore. So he just basically leaked just the top six. So we did pretty good this year. We have approximately 150 groups, and we got away with just basically the headliners were leaked, but all the younger groups, fortunately for us, we got to hold on to this year.
Right. That's because you don't have to worry about journalists knowing who Crystal Castles and Atmosphere are. They already know probably the big names, right?
Exactly.
Let's talk about being 20 years old for Lollapalooza. I mean, as I've heard you say many times before, you started out with seven acts in a dirt field back in 1991. Nobody could have imagined that it would, you know, go into the 21st century, much less get bigger and better every year. But I get the impression that you wanted to really up your ante and do something special for year 20.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a special number. I almost kind of can't believe it. Last night, somebody had footage that they had gotten from Shoreline Amphitheater in 1991. That was Bill Graham's place when Bill was still alive. And I had never seen the footage, nor had my wife. And she had looked up there and said, "Wow, man. You were really a part of all that?" And I said, "Honey, I put it together." And she was like, "Wow, now I know why people are so nice to you."
let's talk about the lineup, particularly the headliners, because I can't believe, for instance, Foo Fighters have never played Lollapalooza before. How is that possible? I'm certain that you have known Dave Grohl for probably 20 years.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a great one. To celebrate the 20th, to have the Foo Fighters is a special thing for me. Many years ago, I had a conversation with Dave about doing Lollapalooza, and he had told me that he had attended the first one, and nobody knew really who they were. And he left, and Kurt and he had said to each other when they left, they said, "You know what, I think we're really going to make it. I got a great feeling that we're going to make it." And then in 1994, they were actually selected to headline. And the day after that, they had signed the contracts and, you know, the agreement to play Lollapalooza, Kurt died.
I never knew that story. How about that? Wow.
Is that crazy?
But what about all the years that Dave has been out there with Foo Fighters? Why has he never played it before?
I know.
Just hasn't worked out.
It just never worked out. And you know, they were a developing band. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out that time. The times before. And, you know, but hey, look, and it's going to be amazing because he's going to step into a situation where there will be probably 100,000 people in the park.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to Perry Farrell. That's his voice you're listening to on the Kevin Amin Show right now about Lollapalooza. The lineup was released last night. It's happening the weekend of August 5th in the heart of Chicago at Grant Park, which is a beautiful, beautiful location. I should mention Eminem playing the show for the first time ever. Foo Fighters we talked about. Coldplay, Muse, My Morning Jacket, The Perfect Circle. Those are some of your headliners this year. By the way, Coldplay, this has got to be their first performance, at least in America, that I've heard about. It seems like in a couple of years, that's quite a get as well.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. And another, you know, interesting bit about them is that they have a new record coming out that produced by Brian Eno.
Mm.
I'm excited to hear anything that Coldplay and Brian Eno would do together.
Is it difficult for you every year to be competing for some of the same acts that are going to be playing Coachella, or does it not matter because it's 1,000 miles and a couple of months apart from each other?
Yeah. Well, you know, you always like to be able to, it's like you're holding cards, they're holding cards. You know, there's aces in the deck. And, you know, if they have an ace or two, you can't be mad. But we have a very healthy, loving competition, I guess you might say. We've known each other forever. I mean, they did the first Lollapaloozas with me.
Right.
So they're my brothers, but are brothers competitive? Heck yeah.
and I know how much respect you have for Coachella. I mean, you were with us when we broadcast live from there last year. I remember you came out and you were, you know, full of smiles about what they were doing there. Let's talk about the ticket situation now. You did have early bird packages that went on sale. Those have already sold out. Regular price tickets are available for $215 right now while supplies last. There are VIP passes and travel passes. A number of single day tickets will go on sale June 7th. We talked a little bit about the Rock, and we mentioned some of the big names. Of course, Deadmau5 also on the bill. CeeLo Green, Junior Gong will be there with Nas. The Cars in their return, Ween. But because you're on the bill and because you're the brains, Perry, tell me about what you're doing for dancers this year. What's going on with the new dance tent?
Well, we want to blow out the dance. We want to put a tent in this year that is unrivaled. So we have a structure that can house 15,000 people at once. Now, 15,000 people is the size of a big amphitheater. It's just so you get the specs in mind. So you can imagine if 15,000 people all walked out of an amphitheater and then walked into a dance shed, that we're going to make the biggest disco they've ever seen.
Who are your headliners in there this year?
Headlining would be Girl Talk, Pretty
Sweet
Lights, Kid Cudi, Bloody Beetroots, Afrojack, Mode Selector, Skrillex.
Got them all. That's amazing. Yeah, unbelievable.
Arietti versus Chris Cox. That's my dance team, and guys like Busy P who come, those guys kind of redefine the sound of electro with those guys. It's really one guy. But anyway,
fantastic.
It's going to be a good time, man.
It is going to be a great time. All right, one more question for you, Perry, because I know you got to go, and that is this a permanent solution to Lollapalooza? Is one location only? Let's do it in Chicago? Or will there ever come a time where you'll have something that will tour or will play in multiple cities?
Well, this year, I should say, we did do Santiago, Chile as part of our,
That was very convenient for us. Thank you for that.
Man, but you should go down there.
It sounds like it.
Really, really. You're the type of guy I think would really appreciate it. Have you ever been to Santiago, Chile?
No. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about going to Argentina later this year for the first time ever. And I've never been to South America.
Yeah. But the Chileans, man, I had no idea. These people go down to Patagonia. you know, all the way down practically to the South Pole. They're very earthy people, but at the same time, they've really become an international community and really rabid for music, and a lot of people haven't been down there. So anyway, we have one show down there that we do, and the government takes the musicians wherever they want to go. If they want to go to Patagonia, if they want to go to Easter Island, they have incredible, you know, deserts, and it's just an amazing piece of land. It's shaped like a spaghetti, but it's as it goes as long as America is wide.
Wow,
it's crazy. You got to look.
That is crazy. That sounds awesome. All right. Well, listen, you got to go, and we're out of time, Perry. But congratulations on another unbelievable lineup. Happy anniversary. The 20th annual Lollapalooza is happening August 5th through the 7th in Chicago. You can go to Lollapalooza.com, and you heard me mention out the ticket information. Follow Lollapalooza on Facebook and Twitter for all the very latest. You're so special to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Perry. We always appreciate whenever you have the time to join us, man. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey! You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106 point, no, not, a, yeah. not appropriate.
I don't think so.
106.7 KROQ. It is 6:29. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And if I understand what you're saying, basically, Ralph Garman, slim it down to just a couple of words. It's move over Rebecca Black, right? Yes. That's your point?
Oh, Rebecca Black has nothing on U8A22.
Now, who's this?
U8A22.
Who are you introducing us to now?
I don't know her name. Dave and I were talking in the other room. She's got 73 videos on YouTube.
She does? My God.
And we have sifted through a great number of them. Not all of them. I mean, I don't have that kind of time. But we can't find a name.
Why do you love her so much?
She is like, remember that scene in American Graffiti where Richard Dreyfuss sees that beautiful blonde and that T-Bird driving next to him, and he spends the whole night trying to track her down because he just can't find out who she is? That's
right,
what this woman would like to become for me. It's just instant love, and I just need to know everything about her. And I haven't begun to plumb the depths of who she is and her talent.
So you gave her the name the Angel with Two Teeth. That's been kind of the shorthand around
the
station.
She's the Angel with Two Teeth because people... She's got two mother effing teeth. That's it. That is the totality of her in the dental department. She is rocking two chompers.
And it's tragic because had her teeth been better, she's a gorgeous girl besides that, right?
Well, no.
No.
She is morbidly obese. I'm thinking to the tune of 400 pounds.
Oh, wow.
She's got long, stringy, greasy, curly red hair, Coke bottle glasses, and insists on wearing the tightest T-shirts that she can possibly find. And I think, well, frankly, any T-shirt on her would be the tightest T-shirt she could possibly find.
Because
she is a massive woman who apparently lives in a trailer somewhere in the deep south. You see her occasionally singing out of doors. You can see the outside of the trailer or the inside. But she does cover versions of some of America's greatest classic songs.
Okay, now you've not painted a pretty picture on the surface, if we're just going by looks. But she's got the talent that will just blow us away, though, right? She's a songbird.
That's where she got me. That's where she caught me. That's how she stole my heart.
Okay.
True, she's not much to look at. But when she opens her mouth, pure magic.
She's a young Susan Boyle.
She is.
Okay, with
so
no teeth.
Many levels.
All right, let's hear what this beauty sounds like.
I won't have
like.
You talk about her as if she's got no teeth. By the way, I won't stand
I
for that beauty.
I apologize.
She has two teeth, one
two
on
teeth.
The top and one on the bottom.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. And I don't know how she eats as much as she does with two teeth, but she is not deficient when it comes to calories. Anyway, I want to play some clips from some of her greatest. There's so many to choose from. I mean, I could have played something from Sweet Home Alabama. I could have had her doing Beat It by Michael Jackson, but done by the Chipmunks. I could have had her do Every Rose Has a Thorn.
But she's got a lot of good ones.
I picked some of her classics. This is an old tune by a country star called Anne Murray. And it was a song called You Needed Me. And
I think
it really kind of captures her at the peak of her skills.
You gave me strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high up on a pedestal, so high that I could almost see eternity.
Bring it home.
You needed me.
Thank you very much.
Oh, she's crazy. I picked that because she was saying a cappella. I wanted you to hear her true voice before we start giving her the backup tracks.
So she's on The Voice tonight? Is that what we're guessing?
I'm hoping. Dave Matthews Band, Crash Into Me, right?
Great.
Big, big hit. She wasn't that familiar with this song, apparently, but she gave it her all.
Crash into me. Crash into me.
Wow. Crash into me. Now, if you're moved like I was by that, you want to learn more about the artist, here's a little behind the scenes about how she worked through that song.
You know, actually, going into this video, I didn't even really know the song, didn't know if I'd like it or not. I mean, I heard it like a couple times before the video, but I didn't know if I like it or not, but actually I do, and I must say I had a lot of fun making it. So that was Crash Into Me, Dave Matthews Band.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's over. Bye-bye now. Have fun.
Bye.
Oh, no. Don't burp into the microphone. That's Russ, like a VH1 Storytellers right there. You get a little behind the scenes.
What do you think is the motivation here? Just that she's bored, has no friends, and this is how she entertains herself, is by uploading videos of herself singing?
What are you going to do, Bean, when you're in the trailer waiting just for the welfare check to arrive? What are you going to do?
I can't entertain
the world.
Right, but I'm sure she's getting a lot of abuse from people on YouTube. It doesn't seem like it would be worth it to put the videos up.
A true artist doesn't let others' opinions color their
behavior. Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Let's pick up the tempo a little bit, huh? Let's rock out. How about some Talk Dirty to Me?
I gotta let you maybe we'll be at the drive-in in the old man's Ford.
Yeah.
Behind the bushes, till I'm screaming for more.
Yeah.
Down the basement,
okay.
The cellar door, and baby, talk dirty to me.
Oh, that's what I want to do. U8A22, that's what I want to do, talk dirty to you.
You can go to KevinAndBean.com, by the way, right now and see the post that Ralph put up about the new internet sensation and his future wife, and you'll see a collection of all of these videos. It's really even more fun if you watch them rather than just hear them.
Oh, we have to jump ahead, I think. Let's skip this next one, and let's just go to her original song, because you think you hear her and say, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, she writes her own
tune? She sings covers, absolutely. I mean, anyone can do that, really. We've all seen that American Idol and what have you, but she's an artist. She has written an original song. Forget your gin and juice. U8A22's favorite drink is Sunny D and rum. That's how she spends her days, swirling down Sunny D and rum. And she's written an original song about it, and I think it's spectacular.
Oh, Sunny D and rum, I take a run and get me some. Oh, Sunny D and rum, yum, yum, I think I'll just drink me some.
Yeah. Come on.
Yum, Sunny D and rum.
Uh-huh,
yum,
she means it.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunny D and rum.
Uh-huh.
Yum.
Yum?
Yum. It's so good.
It is.
I can't get enough.
No, apparently you can't.
Give her a commercial.
Well, someone had the genius idea to auto-tune Sunny D and rum.
Yes.
So I think maybe for the first time ever, I'd like to debut the auto-tuned version. I think it's a hit. Here's the new, improved Sunny D and rum.
Oh, Sunny D and rum, yum, yum, it's a flavor I just wanna. Oh, Sunny D and rum, yum, yum, it's so good, I can't get enough. Oh, Sunny D and rum.
For her to open at Weenie Roast this year. It's going to be the best thing ever.
When the Gregory Brothers auto-tune you.
We can tear down the wall of one of her trailers and get her out and get her on stage. It's going to be quite the adventure for everyone.
That's how you know you've made it on the internet, when the Gregory Brothers take one of your songs and auto-tune it and turn it into a hit, by the way.
Oh,
she's fantastic.
So she's the best.
So you're going to be moving to wherever her trailer is? This is your new life?
Just forward all my mail to Kentucky or wherever the hell I'm going next.
Well done. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Tommy Lee back in the news, Lisa May. Haven't seen much from Tommy lately. What's he been doing?
No idea.
Haven't seen, certainly haven't seen much musically that he's been up to lately. I know he's got a couple of solo projects, and from time to time he'll get back together with his band Motley Crue. But he did an interview this week with something called the Artisan News Service that said what he'd really like to do is work with Lady Gaga. And not just because she's one of the biggest artists in the world, because he totally gets what she's all about. And we thought, we need to find out more about this, because that's intriguing to me. Tommy Lee on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
How are you, dude?
Oh, you know. Living the life, rocking and rolling, Babe-Roham Lincoln, Bro, Osama bin Laden, yeah.
Right. This was a surprise to hear you call out Lady Gaga. I mean, are you sure it's not just that she is so popular that whatever you did with her would instantly sell?
Hey, man, the sunset comes up in the morning and rises and then goes down at night. And it's like, I'm just going to have me some Brosecchis, maybe some Brose Cuervo, bro. Ah, yeah, bro.
Okay. I get all that, but I guess what I'm asking is, does it make musical sense? Do you think you and Lady Gaga have enough common ground that you could work together on a record?
Oh, we got plenty of common ground. I was hoping we could play together at Brocella. Ah, yeah.
So she's a piano player and a singer. You play the drums. I mean, I guess that works.
Pian-bro. Pian-bro.
You're
you made that one up, yeah.
Yeah, you did. What do you think of the crazy outfits that she wears, Tommy? You pay attention to her in the news? You see her with the egg and the lobster and everything else?
Every once in a while, bro, she'll wear an outfit that exposes her boobs, and that's rad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you know Lady Gaga? Have you had the opportunity to meet her or talk to her?
You know, it's like sometimes the cookie crumbles, life's curveball. Go for it.
Right. But I was asking if you've ever met Lady Gaga.
Well, you know, sometimes I just pile on the macaroni and cheese and then think to myself, I'll send it off with a bro stitch stamp. And then I drive a boat with my dong. And that is bro your boat. Yeah. Bro.
So we shouldn't be on the edge of our seat waiting for this duet to happen anytime soon.
I'll tell you one thing, Bros of Stalin. At the end of the day, you can't allow things, the little things in life, ask not what your country lemons.
Exactly. Thank you, Tommy.
Hey. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thanks, Lisa. It's 106.7 KRQ at 6:53. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here for the Showbiz Beat. And by the way, Ralph, you know Adam West on the program later today. This live event that he's doing, which is called Wizard World, is
yes,
that right?
Wizard World Comic Con down in Anaheim this weekend.
Adam West and Burt Ward, Batman and Robin, Ray Park from Star Wars and X-Men, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, Mother F and Richard Roundtree, Shaft is going to be there.
That John Shaft Schneider is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Shaft.
John Schneider for the Dukes of Hazzard. It just goes on and on and on. What an unbelievable lineup. So I'm sure you'll be at that event.
And both Catwomen. I think Lee Merriweather and Julie Newmar, both Catwomen from the movie and the TV series on Batman. We're going to be with Bert and Adam, too. It's like a Batman reunion down there.
And the list just goes on and on and on. What an unbelievable lineup. Anyway, we'll talk to Mr. West later on today. Dimitri Martin after the top of the hour talking about his new book. Now Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of letting your geek flag fly, how about Thor? How about Thor?
Yay!
I've got passes to the red carpet world premiere of Thor. It's happening at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood on Monday, May the 2nd. I'm going to give away a couple pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers you get through win a pair of passes to see Thor.
Ralph, I wasn't on board with Thor. Didn't care about Thor. Didn't really know about Thor.
Thor is one of the founding members of the Avengers, bitch.
I know, but I don't care about that. I will tell you, though, that I'm watching our pal Jimmy Kimmel on the TV last night. He's got a show now, you know?
Yeah.
And he brings out one of my three crushes in all the world, actress Kat Dennings, who's in Thor, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, she along with Natalie Portman, I think, fine Thor, Chris Hemsworth. When he lands here on Earth after leaving Asgard.
Well, now I may have to go see it if Kat Dennings is in it, though. I love her so much.
Well, you should see it anyway.
I wasn't going to see it anyway, but... I mean, that's just a plus. I'm just saying, it just gets better and better.
Anthony Hopkins as Odin, the father of Thor. It's all based on Norse mythology, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of the Norse. I've always been a big Norse fan. Chuck Norris.
Come on.
Stan Lee, one of our favorites around here, it was the guy who created Spider-Man and Incredible Hulk and Fantastic Four. And he said he wanted to do something based on, mythology for his next superhero when he came up with Thor. But he said the Greeks and the Romans had been done to death, so he dabbled in Norse mythology, the Vikings. Right. And I thought that was a very clever idea for him to go off the board like that. And look at the success he's having now.
But more importantly, Kat Dennings has huge boobs.
We get it. We get it. Yes, she does. It's an exciting time to be a movie fan because this press release just came across my desk this morning. And how I'm excited to hear that Dimension Films has just started production on Piranha 3 Double D. How about that?
Oh, man.
You know how much I love Piranha 3D? Now, Piranha 3 Double D is going into production, the sequel to the legendary film Piranha 3D. Couldn't be more excited. Danielle Panabaker is going to be starring in it, they say here. Dave Koechner, my buddy Dave Koechner, just a great cast. And so they're going to production. They want to let us know that it'll be in theaters nationwide November the 23rd of this year. So mark your calendars for Piranha 3 Double D. And they'll be hearing from our lawyers regarding the Double D thing. That's all I'm saying. More movie news. Alex Winter says that a script has indeed been written and finished for the next sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Keanu Reeves has said he's on board, so they hope to go into production sometime soon. Would you go see an Entourage movie?
No, not even. I won't even watch the TV show.
Jeremy Piven tells New York Magazine that there may be an Entourage movie in the works after the series wraps on HBO this coming season.
Can I guess the plot?
I don't think you could.
I bet it has something to do with Vince not being sure whether he should do a movie or not because it might violate his artistic principles.
But what about Turtle trying to get a harebrained scheme to start making money off the ground?
Is Johnny Drama frustrated that his career is not where he hoped it would be?
You think Arnie might be struggling with career issues and his wife at home while trying to keep everyone happy?
You think Eric regrets getting a girlfriend when there's all those other hot chicks in Hollywood he could be dating instead?
You think he wants to try to prove himself as a manager and not just a lackey who follows his friend around and manages his career?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We've just written the Entourage movie for you.
Spoiler
please enjoy.
Alert! Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jordana Brewster is 31 years old today. Actor Channing Tatum celebrates his 31st birthday as well. Tyler Levine from the TV series Reaper. He is 33 years old. He was also in Sons of Arizona, whatever that show was on Fox.
Anarchy.
No.
Oh, Raising Arizona.
Not Raising Arizona.
No, I do know what you're talking about.
The Boys of Arizona. The Boys of Sedona.
Tucson.
Sons of Tucson.
There you go.
There we go.
I feel like we're playing a parlor game here.
He's 33 years old. Tom Welling, soon to be Superman over there on Smallville, 34. T-Boz is 41. Jet Li turns 48. And television legend Carol Burnett is 78. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam West, TV's Batman on the show today. A brand new Bean's Death Corner. And the ringmaster for Beecher's Madhouse, Jeff Beecher, will be joining us too. But first, hit it, Steve.
I don't like lollipops. Because to me, a lollipop is hard candy plus garbage. I like parties, but I don't like piñatas. Because the piñata promotes violence against flamboyant animals.
I think the worst time to have a heart attack is during a game of charades. I like digital cameras because they enable you to reminisce immediately. Look at us. We're so young. Where does the minute go?
To me, swimming is a confusing sport. Because sometimes you do it for fun, but then other times you do it to not die. And when I'm swimming, sometimes I don't know which one it is. I gotta go by the outfit. Pants. Uh-oh.
I was on the train and I heard this guy say to his friend, "Man, I'm really good at checkers." Which is the same as saying, "Man, I'm not good at a lot of things."
Please welcome the very funny Dimitri Martin.
Very funny indeed, an awesome stand-up comic, a terrific actor, and now add author to his resume. Dimitri Martin has a new book called This Is a Book. Dimitri, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for having me back. How are you?
Sorry we gave away so much of your act in the intro. I bet you're really steamed right now.
No, it was great. It was like a weird This Is Your Life.
Right, exactly.
Style. I was like, whoa.
This Is a Book. That's a title that I'm sure you had to get past some people. How'd you come up with it?
Yeah, very, very. It's a deep cutting title. Very insightful. You know, I just wanted to do something simple. It was like my CD was called These Are Jokes.
Right.
Let me just continue that idea of simplicity. And then, you know, if I do a second CD eventually, I can get more complicated. Second book, I can go deeper into something, but I wanted to start with just that kind of simple idea.
I was just worried that you thought we, your fans, are not very bright and we really need it spelled out for us. That was my concern.
I wanted to call it Book or Rectangle. But the publisher was like, no, that's just like a little too weird. I was like, all right, fine.
Hey, are you on a train right now or skydiving? Where are you, Dimitri? What's all this noise I'm hearing?
I'm in New York and I'm trying to get to a park.
Oh.
So I can get away from the car, so I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. We can hear you, okay? It's just funny. There's so much going on in the background. So what made you decide to want to write a book, and how different was it than sitting down and writing a comedy act?
It's because I spend so much time in my notebooks that I have material that doesn't always work for stand-up, you know? I mean, I'm trying to write stand-up jokes often, but what I end up with are maybe scenes, characters, story ideas. So with those, I realized, all right, just hold on to these, because even though they don't seem that useful right now, you're gonna find something for this.
Oh, interesting. So in other words, the material sometimes points you in the direction of how it wants to be expressed.
Absolutely. It dictates the medium in a sense.
Narrative essays, you've got short stories, conceptual pieces. Tell me about the cartoons. There's a lot of cartoons, and I've seen some of them excerpted in promotional materials for the book, and they're very, very funny. Is that something you've also been doing for a real long time?
Not too long. When I started putting drawings in my stand-up, it was kind of a similar thing where I realized sometimes when I was trying to come up with jokes, I would just draw the joke, like drawing a scene. And that led me to believe that maybe I could do something with those.
Yeah.
And it just sent my head in that direction. So each day, not only for writing, I also try to draw and see what I can get out of it. So the book for me was just like exciting because I thought, cool, like someone's going to pay me to draw, basically? Definitely. I'm putting drawings.
Yeah, why not? We're talking to comedian Dimitri Martin. The book is called This Is a Book. It is available everywhere today. And by the way, you can meet Dimitri. He's got some appearances coming up, including May 1st at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. You're going to be in San Francisco at Books, Inc. in Opera Plaza on the 5th, and then in West Hollywood signing books at Book Soup. Have you noticed that people treat you with a little more respect now that you are an author? Are people nicer to you or give you better perks because now you're not, quote-unquote, just a comedian?
No, not so much. I will say that publishing does seem a little more genteel. It's a very kind of like civilized industry compared to like stand-up. It's kind of great to start in stand-up because you just get like the scummiest kind of bottom feeders in a lot, especially in New York and a lot of the clubs. It's just like a real kind of low bottom of the barrel feel to like the bookers and,
right.
You know, it's just like nobody, they just treat you like a turd.
And now you're all fancy, though, because you've written a book like Snooki, right?
Slightly different.
The book is called This Is a Book. Again, it's available in stores everywhere from author Dimitri Martin. Last question for you, Dimitri. I'm sure that you took a lot of heat from your parents and from your family when you dropped out of college to go into comedy. Are you starting to win a little bit of that support back now that you've got a book out that you can show that you actually used your education for something?
A little bit. You know, it's funny. So much time has passed where it went from people just disapproving so much, not being, you know, into what I was doing, to kind of tolerating what I was doing and saying, like, all right, well, he's making a living, so
right,
fine, we'll give it to him. To finally me just being like, I don't even tell him anymore. who in my family knows that I wrote a book? Like, they don't care. So I'm like, good. All right, you guys don't worry about it. I'll go pay my bills. I did a book.
Well, it looks very, very funny, and generally the policy of this show is that reading is for losers, but we're going to make an exception and urge people to go out and get your book, Dimitri. Thanks a lot for coming on the show today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. I hear we're world famous. I haven't verified that. I'm not sure if that's true, though. 724. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I have not seen this Bleacher's Madhouse. Madhouse? Madness? Whatever it's called?
Madhouse.
I've not seen that, but I understand it is a crazy show.
It's a madhouse. That's what it is.
It should have been my hint. And Jeff Beecher is going to be joining us coming up next hour. Plus, we'll introduce you to the calmest man in the world next year on the Kevin Bean Show. Look, I know that you're sick of the royal wedding. We're certainly sick of the royal wedding. And every time we talk about the royal wedding, we do get complaints from our listeners that say, hey, I managed to avoid it in the rest of my life. Why can't you people avoid it? To which I reply, who are you calling you people, first of all?
Yeah.
And second of
racists.
All, how can you not be fascinated with the coverage of the royal wedding? It's insane how many hours of programming are being devoted in this country to two people that we don't care about getting married on Friday 3,000 miles away.
You're going to want to pay attention because when your grandkids come to you and say, when did you know it was the end of civilization? You can say, oh, I know exactly when it happened. I can pinpoint the moments when they wouldn't stop talking about the royal wedding in America.
Well, the Today Show, and I think Good Morning America, and if CBS has a morning show, they're all broadcasting from London this week because the royal wedding is on Friday. And we have been really fascinated, especially since we have the Today Show on in the studio. We've been really fascinated with how they're filling all this time. And you're not going to believe some of the stuff that is coming out of the mouths of these people that we depend on to tell us what's happening in the world. For instance, listen to some of this coverage from just yesterday. Here's Meredith Vieira. Of course, she's live in London talking about the weather and how it's wreaking havoc on everyone's plans there.
I know it's another beautiful day here, although they are saying that that could change by the end of the week. We could see a lot of wind and rain, but I'm not going to go there, Matt. Right now, I'm going to talk about today, and it really, really is beautiful. Unseasonably warm. In fact, over the weekend, 28,000 inhabitants of London were told off with their heads. I'm talking about the tulips that lined some of the path from Buckingham Palace to the church because they're wilting so badly in the heat that they're going to cut the heads off those tulips.
Thank God we got the tulip update.
How is that news? I don't care how much you care about the royal wedding. How can anyone care that they're cutting the heads off tulips because they're wilting? How does that make the broadcast?
Because, Bean, don't you want to know what the floral situation is going to be like the day of the wedding?
No, I don't.
I'm just like, why won't they talk about the ferns? I want to know about the ferns. Enough the tulips.
Are people in Britain excited about this week's royal wedding?
Are the people here excited? I saw two polls this weekend. One poll, majority of Brits said they're looking forward to the wedding. Another poll, majority of the Brits said they don't plan on watching it.
Okay, what am I supposed to do with that information, Meredith?
How many majorities did she mention there?
Yes, one of each. I'm not sure. I don't know if the polls are inconclusive. Maybe not worth bringing up. Well, you can imagine there were reporters spread out all over England, any place that has even a tangential relationship to the story. So they're all over the hometown of Kate Middleton, the soon-to-be princess. That's what this one is.
Of Bucklebury, where the Middletons live. Natalie, any royal sightings?
No, unfortunately not. I did not run into William and Kate here, Meredith, but reportedly they were here spending a little time here yesterday.
Okay, again, so I'm not sure how that helps us.
They may have been there yesterday, but no news today.
Right. While they were there, and of course, Easter weekend just behind us, what do you guys suppose they ate?
Police kept us at a distance from the Middleton home on Sunday. Local reports said they enjoyed a four-hour Easter lunch.
Oh, no details on what they ate, though. That's too bad. Just we know how long the meal was.
How long it took. Either they're very slow eaters or it was a very big meal. We can assume that much.
Now, one of the things that I love, and local news does this too, and this cracks me up, is whenever they interview little kids about whatever the story is that's going on in the news that day. I mean, why do I care what this little kid thinks about the town where Kate is from?
A small village doesn't really get noticed, and now Kate Middleton's from this small village, and that's really good.
All right, so far, if I'm producing this show, every single thing that's been on it so far, I've scratched. I've said, no, yeah. We're not putting that on the air, right?
All non-news at this point.
Non-news. What about the effect on the British economy? The people must be buying a lot of souvenirs, right?
London is hoping to bring in £1 billion by the sale of merchandise and food, estimating 20 million bottles of beer will be bought, 4 million bottles of champagne. I love this. 500,000 Union Jack paper cups, 300 miles of patriotic bunting. You have been to a lot of festive occasions here. What do you think it'll be like on Friday?
I don't think anyone can really understand what it's going to be like.
Oh, there's your expert. There's the guy to go to.
That was helpful.
Yes, Meredith, no one really knows what's going to happen one way or the other. Back to you.
You've been to a lot of festifications. What the hell is that, by the way?
I'm just glad we've got the bunting update. The bunting industry is once again booming here in Britain. Good for Britain bumming and bunting.
Okay, now this is going to be shocking to you, Ralph. Wait till you hear what Prince Harry has planned after the wedding on Friday at the after party.
Harry is throwing a special after party, complete with, I think, bacon sandwiches.
Okay, wow. So we got that information. We got
they
that
are going
now.
Off. bacon sandwiches and E at the after party.
It's crazy. Well, of course, there's a lot of speculation. Let's ask everyone we encounter on the street in London, where would you go if you were Prince William and you just got married? Where would you take your bride for the honeymoon?
Where are they going? Do you guys know we're hearing reports of Mustique maybe in the Caribbean? Also, Lizard Island.
I can't help but feel his heart is in Kenya. If I was him, I'd go to Africa.
And what about you, Sue?
I think maybe Australia, you know, in some wonderful $3,000 a night suite on Lizard Island.
You're just saying countries now. You're throwing darts at a map. They have no idea.
This is on my TV. This is instead of news, by the way. This is instead of things that are happening in our country that affect us, that we care about.
The prince's heart is in Kenya, did that guy say?
Yes.
I'd like to see a birth certificate, I think.
I'm not sure the prince was even born in England.
And finally, in the royal wedding coverage from the Today Show yesterday, and I didn't see this clip, but Omar tells me that they spent about 10 minutes on the show so that Meredith Vieira, one of the hosts of the Today Show, could find the appropriate hat to wear on Friday. And I guess they're crazy for their hats.
Yeah,
I guess
hats are a big deal.
The deal. I mean, there are places you can bet in Britain on what color hat the Queen will be wearing, for instance. You can actually put down money on that because it's a closely guarded state secret. Meredith, as far as I understand, is not going to the wedding, right?
I don't believe so, no.
She's just going to be broadcasting from outside in a hat,
you still
apparently.
Need a hat.
You know what? Now I feel like Kevin. I did that big setup, and there's one clip before we get to hats, and that's about the wedding dress. I apologize. Let's hear that.
They want to know what Kate is going to wear. That'll be the money shot.
Oh, I don't want to see very much. Now you've got me interested.
They can't broadcast that part, can they?
All right, let's talk about Meredith and her hats. What she got going on?
British tradition calls for a proper hat at weddings, so I went in search of my own proper hat to wear on Prince William and Kate's big day.
Could I hear more details about that, Meredith?
Rachel's hats can be classic. Hats with an attitude. Hats with interesting creatures. But which one was right for me?
Oh, sweet.
Who cares?
Jesus.
Bad.
Who cares?
It's a hat. Just put a hat on.
Just put a hat on. I don't care what it is. Make it a baseball cap. We don't care, Meredith.
Oh, you know what? Make a hat out of all those tulips they're cutting down. Just stitch them together and put it on your head, you whore.
And after 10 minutes of watching her in this very exclusive hat shop, watching her pick out a hat, think she's going to show it to us? Think again.
Rachel took measurements to make my hat. Then we went upstairs to see how she makes each work of art by hand.
Make the head fitting. Uh-huh. So
that's the circumference of the head.
Exactly.
The head, yeah.
And the ribbon will be the same head measurement.
Then Rachel works on the trimmings, the feathers, bows, flowers, before the final fitting.
And when somebody comes in for a fitting, you try that on their head, and sometimes need to lower the crown a bit, or we might take a bit in off the brim.
Oh, so people come in like it's a dress for a fitting.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Wow.
So which hat should I choose?
Tell us. What fabric?
What
Tell
color? What shape?
Come on, Meredith, which one? Which one?
What?
Which hat will it be?
You're not going to tell us? Is there one more clip? Can she at least reveal the hat?
Anyway, you're going to get to see my hat on Friday morning when our special coverage of the royal wedding kicks off at 4 a.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. Pacific time.
Oh, you got to wait till Friday. Well, now there's another reason to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning for their live coverage.
So we can see her hat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but covered with bunting and tulips and bacon sandwiches.
I hope you're right. K-Rock has taken over Six Flags Magic Mountain Friday. Stryker's going to be broadcasting live. What a party. Congratulations to Catherine Pingle from Downey. Just won her tickets. Your chance to win on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:41. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat in an all-new Bean's Death Corner. You know, this has been a horrible weather season all across much of the country. In fact, if you got the news on today, the flooding that they're having in Missouri is just ridiculous. Over the weekend, they had all those tornadoes in places like North Carolina. I mean, just crazy, crazy weather this spring. And I don't know what's going on, but there have been so many videos up on YouTube of people who are just terrified, people who are trying to outrun some of these storms and some of these tornadoes. And then there's a video that we came across the other day. And I don't know how this is possible, but here's a dude who's sitting in his Ford truck. He's on the phone with his wife, and he's describing to her a tornado that he sees on the horizon. Now, he's smart because he's gotten himself out into an area where nothing's going to fall on him, and he's just going to ride it out because he can see this tornado, and it's headed toward him. Now, when he starts talking on the phone, the tornado is quite a distance out. But then it gets closer and closer to him as he continues to do play-by-play for his wife until eventually the tornado goes right past him. He's in the middle of a tornado at some point while he's having the conversation with his wife. Listen to this guy and tell me how it's possible that anybody could be experiencing this and remain as calm as this dude is.
Oh, half a mile. I'd say it's coming straight toward me. But it's not one of those, I would say, you know, like devastation, terrible. I mean, it's picking up leaves. I see stuff in it, but it's not. It's just twisting. Up there goes a flash. It's blowing up some power lines now. I'm in a parking lot.
Okay, stop one sec. Stop one sec. So he can see it in the distance. He can see it's not picking up buildings or anything like that, so he feels like it's fine. He's fine. The closer it gets to him, the worse it gets, and the more it starts really doing damage, you can hear how hard it starts raining because this tornado is coming right at him. But please notice, he never gets more excited about it. He still manages to maintain his exact level of calm. Listen up.
It's going to pass right over me. Oh, no, that's the rain and the breeze. Yep, there goes the roof off a house. And yep. Hang on, I love you. Still good. I'm still good, just now I got a problem with what I'm driving, it's damaged. No, looks like roofing blew off a building and got me. I mean, I'm okay.
Oh my God.
Roofing blew off a building. It got me. Smashed right into his truck, by the way. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. So we wanted to meet this man who just has ice water running through his veins. So we asked producer Dave, believe it or not, to set up the guy. Ted Grant joins us on the phone. He's the man in the car. Hi, Ted. Thanks for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're fine, but you have to explain how you were so calm in the face of a tornado bearing right down on top of you, sir.
Well, there's no real point in getting too excited because there's nothing really you can do at that point. You're just riding the thing out, so I just wanted to talk to my wife and let her know I was okay and just wait for the tornado to pass.
Well, I mean, that's admirable, but, I mean, let's be honest. Weren't you scared when you saw the thing coming at you?
No, not really, because I could see in the distance it wasn't... one of them devastation or terrible ones. It wasn't going to do too much damage, so I figured I'd be okay if I just stay put.
Right, until it got closer, and then you saw it ripping the roofs off buildings.
Yeah, there was some concern there, but I just had a sense that I knew I'd be okay. So if I just, you know, kept calm and kept my head about me, I figured I'd be okay.
Are you on Xanax? Whoa, what, Ted?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm just here near an active volcano.
You're near a volcano while you're doing the interview?
Seems to have been erupted. I'm on vacation here in a South Seas island. Looks like the volcano has erupted.
Okay, you need to move away from that. You don't want to be too close to that.
I'm still good.
Okay, that sounds like it could hurt, though. Be careful.
No, it doesn't seem to be one of them devastation or terrible ones.
Okay.
The lava's just going by me now. It's just going by. It's okay.
How close is it to your feet right now?
About 6-7 inches.
So okay. You're fine.
We're good. Yeah.
Well, were you taking a lot of Xanax, or what was going on with you in the car?
No, I don't take no medication of any kind or anything. I'm just...
Ted?
Yeah?
What's happening?
Seems like the volcano is called a tsunami. Caused a tsunami, apparently, offshore.
You're now in the middle of a tsunami?
Yeah, that's a big wave. That's, I don't know, it's about 100 feet high, I guess.
Okay, if it's a 100-foot wave, you should be running.
No, I'm still good. It's okay.
Ted!
No, the wave's just going to go by me. It's all right. Hang on. I love you. Hang on.
Let's not get into that, okay?
No, it's fine. Just went by me. I'm okay.
So a tsunami
just... I got some
problems
with my vehicle now. I think it's flooded. It's
well, I can imagine
back to
so.
The hotel, but...
100-foot waves, but I mean, that was a pretty fast tsunami. Now what's happening?
The lava seems to have started a wildfire here on the island.
How could there be a wildfire?
Wildfire is sweeping across the area that I'm in.
Isn't everything wet from the tsunami?
It is, but there apparently is stuff that wasn't hit. It's been going up like tinder. It's going to dry out my car. I think the intensity of the wildfire probably helped me in the long run.
Okay, this sounds like a very dangerous vacation that you're on, Ted.
No, I'm good. I'm all good. It's okay.
You're good?
I'm fine. No, I don't see any real damage.
Okay.
Now we've got a bit of a rock slide.
Okay, this is just ridiculous now.
It'll help me crawl out of the water.
Ted, be careful.
No, I'm good. Not one of them devastation or terrible ones. It's okay.
Okay, but a rock slide is bad, dude. Be careful.
But, what's that? Oh, now I got an earthquake. He's shaking a little bit now.
I'm going to let you go and get back to whatever you're doing on vacation.
I'm good.
Right, but I'm worried at this point you're going to get hurt. I don't want to have that on my conscience.
All right, hang on. Okay. Love you.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
All right, love you.
Okay, bye-bye, Dad.
Okay, bye-bye.
This traffic report brought to you by San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau. Sig alert issued now in Bellflower for the 91 freeway, the Artesia freeway eastbound past Lakewood Boulevard. It's an injury accident. They have closed down the left three lanes. The backup is to about Downey. If you're on the westbound side of the 91, you'll find delays starting around Orangethorpe. That'll take you across to the 710. On the Long Beach freeway in Long Beach, north 710 before Pacific Coast Highway, injury crash in the fast lane has you on the brakes at Ocean. And on the I-5 southbound before State College Boulevard, watch for a stalled car in the right lane. Summer fun for the whole family is waiting at Turtle Reef, SeaWorld San Diego's new interactive attraction, opening June 18th. Learn about the lives of sea turtles or take a spin on their newest ride, Riptide Rescue. Dive into all the details at sandiego.org/SeaWorld. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Do you read much or are you new? I can't.
You know, it just takes a few days to get back into the swing of things.
Her tongue's been busy doing other things.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock. It is 7:53. This is the Kevin Beach. We've got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you after the top of the hour.
Goody.
And then we're going to dive into Beecher's Madhouse. Jeff Beecher will be here right now. Rob's got another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a little movie I like to call Thor!
Now, why do you like to call it that, Ralph?
Because that's the name of the movie.
Oh, I see.
But I don't get to celebrate with my geek friends very often, so I'm taking full advantage of this ticket giveaway. And I wanted to ask a trivia question for my my true believers out there, my comic book geeks. Here's your trivia question about Thor. If you can get the answer and call at 1-800-520-1067, and you're one of the first two callers to get through, you will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of the new superhero film Thor from...
Say nerd!
Nerd! Yes, nerds. Nerds assemble. Here we go. Here's your trivia question. What was the comic book where Thor debuted? First ever appearance of the comic book character Thor was in what comic book? I need the name of the comic book and the number of the issue as well, please. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Do it
will
now.
Someone know that, or will someone Google that?
I think someone will know that. It's pretty well known amongst Thor aficionados. It's like if you ask me when a Batman appeared, I'd say, Detective Comics 27, 1939. Boom.
I know that type of thing. It's in my head. Okay.
If you're a Thor fan, you know the number and title of the comic book where he first appeared.
Now, I don't follow Thor much, but at any point in Thor's life, is it ever hammer time? Is that something they would use or say or do?
File. So much.
What? Isn't he the guy with the hammer?
So
am I thinking
of file?
He's the guy with the giant hammer, right?
All fileness right now. Please put it in.
I'm just trying to understand the story.
It's hard getting old, even if you're George Clooney. Friends are saying the G.O. isn't happy about hitting the big 5-0 later this year. Insiders tell AbsoluteNow.com that he has already told his friends and colleagues he wants to spend the day alone with no presents, no celebration or cake. Doesn't want any acknowledgement of that date whatsoever for him.
I mean, look at him. When you're a wreck like he is, I mean, it's embarrassing to even go out looking like George Clooney now.
That's what I was thinking. If he is so despondent about hitting 50, what are the rest of us supposed to do when we get there? Just kill ourselves?
Oh, yes, apparently so.
You got to be 50, and you're the best possible 50 there can be. You know why? Because you're George Clooney and you're 50. The rest of us are 50 and not George Clooney.
You can go up to any 20-year-old girl and say, would you have sex with a 50-year-old? And 99% of them would say no. And then you say, what about George Clooney? They go, I'm in.
Right. So if you have to turn 50, that's the best of all possible circumstances to turn 50 under. And then I'll give a choice. You got two choices. You get older or you're dead. Those are your two choices.
And I'm really surprised. This doesn't sound like George Clooney to me because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would care about stuff like that because he's got more important things to worry about in the world. You know, he's out there, you know, saving Africa.
Yeah.
I'm surprised if this story is true that he would have any feeling about it whatsoever.
Well, it is a pretty big landmark in some people's lives.
Sure.
I mean, that is the acknowledgement that probably you have more years behind you than you do in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be a sobering thought for some people.
Beer Mug's at that point right now. He's 28 years old.
Come on.
There's no question Beer Mug is more than half done with his life.
What's Beer Mug going to look like when he's 50? What's going to happen to him at 50?
I thought he was 50 now. I had no idea until I found out recently how old he was.
We should bring George Clooney down here and say, look at this man right here. Now look at yourself.
Guys.
Now you got to feel better, don't you, George? Because Mug's rough at 28.
I'm going to look marvelous when I'm 50.
You look rough now is what we're saying.
You do. If Muggs makes it to 35, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah.
I think he's got some sort of weird aging disease. I really do.
Come on.
Oh, he's not that bad.
One of those kids who's 9 but looks 90. I really worry about Muggs.
That progenia? Progenia?
Yeah. And he's also living very hard and very fast.
Well, that's what it is. It's not about, you know, some disease. It's about...
It's Vegas and waking up in a bush.
It's about the things he puts up his nose, in his stomach, and in his arm.
Yeah.
That's what gets you.
It keeps me going.
The Jews aren't supposed to party, by the way. It's just that they're not built for that.
Really?
Yeah.
You're supposed to study and read.
You're supposed to study things and own things.
You're supposed to put on a suit and walk around on Saturdays. That's what you're supposed to do, Muggs.
Yeah.
So leave the drinking to the Irish. We know what we're doing there, right, Muggs?
Okay.
You're fighting against your basic nature. That's the problem, I think. Little Manischewitz on the high holidays, and that's it for you. That's all you're not supposed to do the rest
that
of all this stuff you've been
ache,
doing.
This is an intervention, Muggs. That's what we're trying to tell you. We don't want you to die. Hey, you want to talk to some Thor geeks?
I would love to.
All right,
Brad on line number 3.
Yes.
Brad.
All right, Brad.
Hey, how you doing, Ralph?
Hey, Brad, how's it going? What
awesome.
Was the comic book and issue number that Thor first appeared in?
Journey into Mystery number 83 and Thor Rocks.
Correct, sir.
Yeah!
Congratulations. You are going to see the red carpet world premiere of Thor.
I'm totally geeked out awesome, man.
Hang on, we'll give you all the details. Also, congratulations to Candelario. He also won. So, congratulations to those two guys. See, those are my people.
I guess so.
They're having a good time today.
You're hanging out with people named Candelario.
He comes in very handy in the dark.
Hammer time's not looking so bad now, is it?
No, it's not. I apologize. And Miley Cyrus. She gets
what's going on with our sweet Miley?
She gets a lot of flack for being a mess. But turns out she's got a pretty big heart. Recently, she was working with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is, of course, the charity that provides once-in-a-lifetime opportunities and for children with life-threatening medical conditions, makes their dreams come true. And one six-year-old named Caden Peets said she would love to meet Hannah Montana. And so she did. Miley Cyrus set aside some time, and she sat down with six-year-old Caden, and they spent the day together. Caden was especially excited because she got a 4-day break from school.
Hmm.
Well, that's what it's all about, is it? I bet she's not even sick, this lying little bitch. No, I'm kidding. It's very sweet.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jordana Brewster's 31 years old. Channing Tatum is also 31. Tyler Labine from Reaper and Sons of Tucson, as we discovered last hour, after a lot of hard work. He is 33 years old. Tom Welling, Clark Kent from Smallville, is 34. T-Boz celebrates her 41st birthday. Jet Li is 48 years old. And TV icon Carol Burnett celebrates her 78th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
10-4. Speaking of April 29th, in the title of that song, that's this Friday. Stryker is going to be broadcasting live from Six Flags Magic Mountain. K-Rock has your tickets. You can win them in about 20 minutes or so here on 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:07. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's show, by the way, Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage like he does on Wednesdays. Funny man Jay Moore joins us. Rob Dyrdek will be here talking about his MTV show coming back. Henry Rollins on the show tomorrow.
Wow.
Wing. All of that tomorrow. Brand new Internet Roundup. It's crazy. But first for today, how about an all-new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I know that my colleagues here on the Kevin and Bean Show do not share my fascination with death, but I will tell you that I do get an awful lot of emails and tweets from people who really enjoy the feature and they look forward to it, mostly because it's not them. They're hearing about somebody else dying and they're still alive, so I think that makes it fun for them. And today, if there's any kind of a theme, it's people doing dumb things that got them killed. For instance, how do you feel, Lisa, about a man in his 20s who has a job as a human cannonball? who died on Monday at the circus when the net did not release, when he was shot out of a cannon and there was no net on the other end of it, so he hit the ground and was killed. How do you feel about that
guy? That's not what you're hoping for.
It's, but, you know, and I kept thinking about this. I mean, it's super sad a guy in his 20s dying this way. But on the other hand, his job is as a human cannonball. And you have to know that's what makes that trick so satisfying for the people, is that there is an element of danger for it. And the fact that you walk away from it is what makes people applaud, right?
Yes. Or you die and people applaud, apparently.
Or you die and people applaud. Yeah. They haven't released his name yet. They only said that he was in his 20s. Relatives have been informed. But, I mean, imagine being at that show and you're yucking it up when the human cannonball comes out of the cannon. And then, you know, 5 seconds later, he's laying in a heap on the ground. That's not any fun for the kids,
right? It's really not. They might remember that badly.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Two people were killed and four others injured during a driving stunt around midnight in an unpaved parking lot near the Collier Lee County line in Florida, according to the Highway Patrol there. This guy has redneck written all over him. Randall Landry was driving the car from Naples. He has an F-250 Ford truck, five passengers. They decided they were going to do donuts. They're out there doing donuts at midnight. No one's wearing a seatbelt. The truck starts rotating clockwise and overturns, pinning two people underneath the truck who were killed. How do you explain that to relatives at the next family get-together? How did Dad die? Well, he was doing donuts at a parking lot at midnight.
Well, he did a six-pack first.
Right.
There had to be alcohol, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's no way for a 43-year-old man to die.
No.
He wasn't 16, okay? He's 43. Although somebody should check on Kevin, because this does sound like the type of thing that would sound like a great idea to Kevin, is to go out to the parking lot at midnight and start doing donuts, right?
Oh, my God.
I love this woman so much, but it's a very, very sad story. Her name is Janet Richardson. She's a British grandmother who was taking a cruise in the Arctic Ocean off the coast of Norway when she fell ill. So they did what they do on cruise ships, which is they called for another boat to come out and for somebody to take grandma away so they could take her to the hospital because she wasn't feeling well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, I don't want to use the word operation to make you think we're talking a medical operation. In the procedure to transfer her, they put her on a stretcher and they transferred her from one boat, the cruise ship that she was on, to a smaller boat that had come up alongside it. And somehow the other boat moved away and she fell into the Arctic Ocean while she was being moved from boat to boat. She was underwater for 8 minutes. In the time that it took for them to rescue her, bring her out of the water. She was still alive. She was taken to a hospital where a couple of days later she did die from her injuries.
And she was strapped in, right? So even
yes.
if she had been able to swim, she couldn't have.
She and her husband were on a cruise. They've been married for 80 years, eight grandchildren. Janet was an energetic woman who loved gardening, sailing, and diving. However, being dropped into the Arctic Ocean for 8 minutes while sick, not something that she was looking forward to. By the way, you can go to kevinandbean.com and you can see all of these stories. You can share with your friends. And also, only on the website, find out which country has a suicide every 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
More than 30,000 people a year commit suicide in this country. One every 15 minutes. That and all the stories you've heard available at kevinandbean.com right now. This has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That's our number 24-7. It's our voicemail here. You can call and leave on any topic. What are people talking about today, Ralph?
Some of our listeners have pet peeves, I think, when it comes to some of us on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Bean has been known to get close to the microphone and then exhale and inhale for right. hours at a time.
Right.
One listener may have had an ass full of that.
Hey, who am I? Who am I? Stop breathing a f-ing microphone,
yeah.
asshole.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
I do hear that from time to time.
Yeah, some issues.
And I have two things to say. One is, if I don't breathe, I'll die. And
right.
two is, that's what fat guys do. Fat guys
You're
breathe
heavy.
You're
not fat, though.
Fat guys breathe heavy.
You
I'm
don't
fat
have
enough.
An excuse.
I think I do. I think that is my excuse.
Just
I think
turn
I'm
your
just
head
a fat
to the side. That's all we're asking.
I do. I'm just as God made me.
Here's some more Bean love.
It's Friday, Bean, go play on the highway. Everybody's looking forward to your silence.
Wow. How are you going to come at me like that?
Someone may have finally decoded Gary Busey's appearance on Celebrity Apprentice, where John Rich claimed he called him boy.
Right.
Gary Busey said he simply said kaboy.
Right. And we had never heard of that. We thought he was just making it up.
We never had this listener may have the answer.
Guys, I finally put it together when Gary Busey said inner circle and kaboys. Don't you remember that popular song from the 90s? Kaboys, kaboys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when Gary come for you?
No, I don't think that was the answer at all.
Wow, he's been watching too much Cops. He thought that was an inspired answer.
Our listeners enjoy celebrating 420.
Yes, they do.
For many years now, that day has become quite the holiday for our listeners. I don't think for anyone more so than this gentleman.
Good morning. It's 4:20 a.m. on 4:20. Happy 420.
That's a rip.
It does sound like he's having a good one.
We have, from time to time, riddles and jokes left on the Afro line.
Hey, what is Snoop Dogg's favorite kind of rainy weather? Drizzle.
Drizzle.
Imagine how funny that would have been in 2002.
Yeah. Kevin's not here today, but this listener has some love for him.
I've had a bad day today. The only thing I know how to do to make it better, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, it does make us all feel better sometimes. When you call the Afro line, there is a short, brief, recorded introduction that kind of gives you all the information you need to know about how to leave a message, and we think it's helpful. Not so much from this guy.
The intro is so stupid. You guys make me angry. Make me want to choke a baby. Why the hell am I calling it stupid? Who made me call it stupid line?
Wasn't his idea in the first place, I guess.
Wow.
And the music we play on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, you know, people tune in for the music. That's the one thing we found out from years and years of research.
Well, our boss certainly lets us know that we're just the filler to get the next record ready to go.
We do little marketing groups to get them together. We say, what do you like most about the Kevin and Bean Show? And invariably, the answer is the music.
It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Basically, that's their answer.
And apparently, Mumford & Sons, too, is getting a lot of love from this guy.
Really? With this motherfucker? Song again. We're English and we play the banjo. You know what? Why don't you stick up your call? How about that, you mother? Every 5 minutes you play this mother song. Can you ever to stop playing these mother? They have banjos, so we gotta play them all the time because they play the banjo. You. How about that? How about you go yourself? Huh? You don't play rock? You don't play alternative? You play pure pile of steaming lots and lots and lots of you.
That gentleman ran out of time, so he called back.
Right up your dirty. That's right. Take those banjos and stick them up your. How about that?
Still inspired, he called back yet
no!
again.
The banjos go up your hole. You and your banjos. The English banjo. How about that? You.
Well, there you go.
Ralph, a lot of people may not be familiar with the name Mumford & Sons. What's the song that he's referring to that he thinks we play too much? How's that one go? You can call the Kevin & Bean Afro Line 24 hours a day at 323-520-AFRO. Congratulations to Kyle Carpenter from Claremont. Just picked up a 4-pack of tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountain. This Friday night, he'll be joining Ted Stryker broadcasting live as K-Rock takes over the park. Your chance to win coming up. It is 8:39. You are listening to the Kevin & Bean Show. Ralph, I'm going to be in town in a couple of weeks in Los Angeles, and I'm looking for a show that involves dancing Oompa Loompas, some singing, some comedy, some live monkeys.
How about Mini-Kiss? You're interested in Tiny
I'd
Kiss?
Love that. Yeah. Mini Lady Gaga. Right. Is there a show, anything like that you can recommend for me that may be available or no?
There is, but apparently it's sold out until July, so you can't go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Beecher joins us in studio.
Hey,
Beecher's Madhouse.
Hey,
how are you, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
And now it's David Arquette presents Beecher's Madhouse.
Yeah, David Arquette presents Beecher's Madhouse.
How did David Arquette get involved with your show? Was he a fan from Vegas? Or?
Yeah, he's crazy like me. We have a whole like kindred brotherhood going, so it's all good. And then he took a little leave of absence when he went through some
from his marriage. Me?
No.
Oh, he went through some
when he was going through some personal issues, and then now he's back on board. So we're really excited about that.
The crazy lifestyle that you lead, Jeff, and I don't know very much about you. I don't even know what I see in the papers. It must bum you out how many of your friends end up in rehab. That really slows your roll for a week here or there, right?
Hey, I'm here at 8:30 in the morning. That's I get up, I function, you know.
He's got plenty of friends. Another one just steps in, I'm sure.
That's right.
So the Madhouse was a huge success in Vegas, selling out for about 5 years there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, at the Hard Rock.
Then you took it on the road, huge hit in 80 different cities.
Mm-hmm.
What was the idea to bring it to L.A.? What made you choose Los Angeles? Because it started originally in New York, I guess,
when
right?
When we toured, it was just me and like all the little guys on the tour bus.
Right.
And, you know, we sold out in every
state. That's okay. Well,
yep,
we'll
you're functioning fine.
I was just like, yo, let's get a theater. And a friend of mine opened a small theater in New York, and they were just killing it. And, right. You know, he was like, just get a theater. So the Roosevelt approached me, and we found this little room that used to be the Cinegrill, the original Cinegrill, where they had mm-hmm. the Oscars and everything.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was down in, like, the basement. And we created this incredible little theater. It's very small. It only holds 150 people, 100 seats,
wow.
15 booths. But it's the craziest night in the world.
Let's talk about the little people, because we share your fascination with little people, with People McNuggets. Do you go out and hunt them, or do people drop them off at your doorstep? Are they domestic little people?
No,
or?
They come to us, but we have the best team. Like our A team, like they're in the other room, Donnie and We Matt, they're the greatest little people in the world, right, guys?
How many little people do you have in the show, and what do they do in the show?
They do, like, they do dancing Oompa Loompa. They do everything. They're the chipmunks, the Smurfs. I mean, they do all these performances. They're not just, like, little guys that, like, walk around with, like, tortilla hats and, you know, salsa and chips in their head.
They're performers.
Yeah, these guys are, like, the greatest performers alive.
And tell people what else you have. You've got the contortionist, right? Usually you have one of the two of those.
We have
show.
A flying midget bartender also that flies around the room.
Yeah.
And he drops up bottles at every table. That's pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he comes out awesome. Of a cuckoo clock and shoots out. No, I'm serious. It's pretty fun.
I believe everything you say.
Now, how do you handle having monkeys and goats in a fancy room like that? It seems like there would be some, yeah, I don't know, some health concerns.
A high-end hotel.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's like rooms and dressing rooms and storage rooms.
What do you do with the monkeys and the goats during the show?
Well, they just walk around and, basically, like a naked midget in a diaper wearing a baby's hat walks around with a goat.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and then the monkey gets like it's a whole thing and needs like the monkey handler, and it's a boring explanation,
but it's awesome to see in person, right?
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. The girls love the monkeys.
All right, and let's not gloss over the girls. The girls in your show are always phenomenally.
Well, I mean, this is my hottest group of girls I've ever had. These girls are just ridiculous here. I mean, it's L.A., so you have like. The best yeah. of the best, and they're like dancers.
Right.
Vegas is a little dirtier than the girls, but here they're like, it's a trade-off. Here they're just really pretty. Nice
now,
girls.
In the course of a show, if I get a ticket, if I'm lucky enough to get a ticket, you know, in August or something like that, because you said you're sold out through July, and I go in and I sit down, how much music will there be in the act? How much comedy will there be in
well,
the act?
Well, first of all, you'd have to go on to Beecher's Madhouse, which is BeecherMadhouse.com. Then you'd apply, basically, to get a table, because the tables, it goes by table. It's not like a normal thing where you get a ticket and it's a $25 ticket or a $50 ticket. The tables are pretty expensive. They run from $500 to $5,000,
right?
Because there's only 15 of them. And it's more like a nightclub. Like it's from 10 to 2 and you go in and you walk wow. in, and then every 45 minutes there's performances, like three or four different performances. Like the Oompa Loompas will come out dancing, and a magician will come out, or the burlesque dancers will come out.
It's an old time variety show.
Yeah.
And you spend the evening there. It's the whole night.
Yeah, it's a whole night thing. And then in a couple more months, we're going to have dinner. So it'll be like a dinner theater, and then you'll be able to do everything. And right now, we're in previews till September. And then September, we go membership only. So
now explain that.
So you're making this as difficult as possible for people who want to see it, right? I mean, that's your goal. Put it in a tiny, tiny room, sell out way in advance, and then make it membership only.
Yeah, pretty much. But, it was, you know, anyone can buy a ticket now, though. Like, anyone can call up and buy tickets. And we're only open Wednesday and Saturday, and then we'll open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in July. That's when more become open and available.
And then the memberships, you're just going to sell a limited number of those? And then
yeah,
once
we're only
they're
doing
sold 2, 000, out, that'll be it?
You have to apply for that and get mm-hmm. approved and all that kind of garbage.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, and L.A. is dope. We love L.A.
Well, you had a ton yeah. of celebrities who would show up to party in Vegas. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in Hollywood.
Well, we don't do press, so we don't even talk about like who's in there. But we've had, you know, pick the 100 best possible celebrities from like old to young, they've all been there already.
Well, that's amazing.
Humphrey Bogart, yeah. Has he been there?
Yes, Humphrey's a big fan.
What a crazy, I mean, what a crazy night to go and do something like this. I mean, I can't think of anything that is even close to what the Beecher's Madhouse is all about.
There
I
mean, isn't.
I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind act right now.
Yeah, there's nothing like it in the world. I mean, people always try and copy it, but there's only one Jeff Beecher and there's only one Little Donnie and Little Wee Matt. So
there was a guy who was mentioned in one of the articles about somebody wrote up about doing your show. A guy who spent over $300,000 buying Cristal for everyone in the audience. Was that a true story?
Yeah, he was. He's from Europe, London or whatever. He's coming again this Wednesday. He's a great guy.
Wow, I wish I was there Wednesday. Yeah. Get free drinks.
He doesn't even drink either. That guy.
He just buys
and gives it to everyone. I want to be that rich by the time I die, you know?
I wish we had more time with you, Jeff, and I know you were running late and whatnot, but I am fascinated with your life, fascinated with how you got to this point in your life, and fascinated with a guy who loves living in a hotel. I don't understand how you can want to do that.
I would do it.
I don't understand how you want
really?
To live in a house.
I mean, my whole life when I was a kid, I always wanted to live in a hotel. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I don't know how to live.
Doesn't it always feel temporary to you? I mean,
I know. I tried living in like houses and stuff, and it just doesn't work. It's weird for me.
So. You can follow Jeff Beecher at Jeff Beecher is the Twitter address. Beechersmadhouse.com is the website if you want to get more information about this unbelievable show. Residency at the Classic Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood right now. It is Beecher's Madhouse. Well, Jeff, thanks a lot for coming in, man. We
sold
really
out till July, but you have tickets available between July and September still, yeah. Right? If you get on the website now.
And then we hold two tables every night for like, we love like birthday parties for, you know, chicks' birthdays and stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm sure, I bet you do. Yeah,
Good times, Jeff. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks,
all right, buddy.
Ralph, your dad's going to be on after the top of the hour.
Oh, I can't wait.
TV's Batman, Adam West.
Adam West, Adam West.
You've got two buttons in front of you. You can only save one. Is it Hugh Hefner or Adam West? Whose life do you spare?
Hef's had a good long life already. Yeah, Adam's got more to do.
It's interesting you say that because aren't they about three years apart in age as all?
No.
How old's Hef?
Hef's 90, isn't he?
No, I think he's early 80s, I thought.
I thought he was late 80s.
Well, all I know is that Adam West rocks for an 80-year-old. Or yeah, 81, yeah, he might absolutely. Be now. It's unbelievable the shape he's in.
He's got more Family Guys to do. I want to see more Adam West, Mayor West on Family Guys. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk to our friend Adam West coming up in minutes here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Right now, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are released. So if you want to check out something new, here's what you can find. TV on DVD. South Park, complete 14th season is available. Growing Pains, the complete second season. Finally, Growing Pains, the second season. What's going to happen with that Seaver family? We don't know. We got to watch Growing Pains. Testies, the complete series is available.
Excuse me?
Check the Testies.
Is that about balls? What's that about?
It's about guys who are desperate for work, so they volunteered to be lab rats at a pharmaceutical company.
And that was a television
show?
They
were testees. There was the testers and then the testees.
I got you. Okay, you I got you. Yeah.
DVDs, movies coming out today. Ending on a high note, the final concert starring A-ha. The final A-ha concert is available on DVD today. Yes. Take on me, take me on. If I didn't have a cold, I would hit that note. Blood Out with Val Kilmer and Annalyn McCord is available today. Dino Shark, from the creative mind of Roger Corman. Eric Balfour stars in that. And Mongolian Death Worm, starring Sean Patrick Flannery. I never knew this movie existed, but I might have to see it now, because it's called Mongolian Death Worm.
Best title ever.
CDs. Dirty Vegas has a new CD called Electric Love you can check out. Airborne Toxic Event has All at Once, their new CD.
Oh, I love them so much.
And, you know, Dave makes up this list for me every Tuesday, so I know what's new in stores and available on Amazon.com and whatnot.
Right.
I think that's the only explanation for the following CD title that he put on my list. The Wombats proudly present This Modern Glitch by The Wombats.
Yay!
New Wombats CD available today if you want to check that out.
Dave does love Wombats, you know that.
He loves Wombats. That much we know. Showtime loves The Borgias. They've picked up another 10-episode season of the Jeremy Irons historical drama. Has anyone been watching The Borgias?
No.
There are too many of those types of shows. I can't keep them all straight.
I know. We got Battle of Thrones or Crucible
Game of Thrones.
Or Game of Thrones, whatever it's called. And we got Camelot. And,
right.
I liked the Tudors. I think Showtime did a good job with that. Mm-hmm. So I have TiVo'd the Borgias, but I haven't seen any episodes yet. But ratings have been good, so Showtime has picked it up for yet another season. So I can afford to watch the first season now because there will be more to watch. Charlie Sheen says he was once buzzed by a UFO.
Of course he was.
He was on the beach in Malibu when a UFO came streaking out of the sky and buzzed him like a strafing airplane.
Did he see all the good press that Sammy Hagar got with making up his story and he felt like, I got to get some of that?
That's my guess. John Travolta, according to Star Magazine, is reaching out to help his former Grease co-star Jeff Conaway, who's still battling addiction. John has talked to Jeff, again, according to Star Magazine, and tried to get him to enter a Scientology rehab from painkillers. Look, whatever it takes at this point for Jeff Conaway, right?
Yeah. Try it all.
Even in Scientology, if that works, then go for it, because that's a sad case. Tonight's the premiere of The Voice on NBC, hosted by our buddy Carson Daly. Mark Burnett is one of the co-creators. Christina Aguilera, Adam Levine, CeeLo Green, and Blake Shelton will be the judges tonight as they try to find the next great voice. Winner picks up $100,000 in a recording contract. Meanwhile, X Factor's giving away $5 million in a recording contract.
Uh-oh.
And Simon Cowell's talking about who the possible judges are for that show. Still hasn't locked down all of them yet. But Paul Abdul's still in the mix, says Simon. I missed her since the day she left Idol. I always loved working with her, even though she can be a pain. So still considering her, but hasn't locked in whether she's going to be a judge or not. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm looking forward to the X Factor. I don't think I would watch The Voice if it weren't for Carson Daly, because when he was in on our show yesterday, you know, first of all, I love the guy. I think he's a great guy. I think he's very talented. He's a very good TV host. But he does have some credibility with me, and if he tells me that it's not bad, it's not cheesy, I'm willing to give it a shot.
I am too. I am curious, and I will watch.
And he does a great job on his late night television show, yep. Carson. It's a very entertaining show, and he presents a lot of great new music to the world, so I'll be curious to see what they come up with on The Voice.
And we may finally have a Mo for the Three Stooges movie. Apparently, former 24 actor Chris Diamantopoulos.
Do we know what character he was?
You'd know him if you saw him. If you saw his photo, you'd know him.
All right.
Apparently, in talks have taken on the role of Mo in the Three Stooges to join Sean Hayes and Will Sasso in the Farrelly Brothers version of the Three Stooges. Boy, we've come a long way from Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, and Jim Carrey, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point where we're saying, do we know that guy? If you saw him, you might. If you squint, you might recognize him from that one commercial he did that day. So, not exactly star-studded. Today's celebrity birthday is Carol Burnett, TV icon. She's 78 years old today. Actor Jet Li.
Hey!
He's 48. T-Boz celebrates her 41st birthday. Tom Welling from Smallville fame is 34. Tyler Labine. I'm having a hard time saying that name all day today. Tyler Labine is 33. Channing Tatum.
How are you doing with Channing Tatum?
Not so well, apparently. He's 31, and Jordana Brewster also celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And Brooklyn Decker, supermodel and Sports Illustrated model cover.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, so sad. We lost him so young, Ralph.
Well, I think it was his time.
But you could hear it was coming on, right?
He was so vital.
Yeah. No surprise to anyone.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:08. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Lollapalooza lineup was announced at 9 p.m. West Coast time last night from Perry Farrell himself, the man who created Lollapalooza 20 years ago. Let's find out what he has to say about this year's festival coming up in Chicago in August. We'll talk to him in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you want to bring on your hero?
He is an icon. He's a legend. A career that spans over 50 years, everything from westerns and cop shows. Then, of course, legendarily, he was Batman on television, went on to a successful career in feature films, other television shows, and now he's the mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island, on Family Guy, the one and only Adam West.
Adam West!
Oh, look at you, Ralph, and Bean, and Lisa May.
Hey, Adam.
Adam, how you feeling, buddy?
I feel great. It finally stopped snowing here where I'm living, and the sun's out, and I'm feeding the moose.
Oh, Adam does have a moose that stops by his lawn from time to time.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You're in Idaho. We're practically neighbors, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's a main house. We call that practically neighbors. Yes. You know, we have a new moose that I've named for the Batman movie that we did.
Yeah.
Her name is Moose Kitka.
Moose Kitka.
Don't figure that out, Ralph.
Yes. That, of course, was Lee Merriweather's character in the Batman movie.
There you
Look
go.
At that. Really? Look at that.
And what's the other moose's name, the male moose?
Moose Wayne.
Moose Wayne, of course.
Moose Wayne, of course.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From here.
Well, listen, Adam, we got a couple of things we need to talk with you about.
Why is Kevin out?
He's sick or something.
Or has he got the gout? Has he got the gout?
I don't believe he has the gout. No.
Maybe. Who knows? He might have the gout.
Just out.
We had your son-in-law, I guess it was, the lucky man who's married to your beautiful daughter, Nina. We had him on a while ago talking about this project, and we tried to help him raise some money to try to get you that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I guess it was, do I remember correctly, was he doing a kind of a documentary about that process as well?
Oh, my God, yes. He's a great guy, and I don't understand him, but he's doing a documentary about me and my life and the career and not having a star on the sidewalk in Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I've got stars on every sidewalk in the country.
Except for Hollywood,
just
right?
Hollywood. Well, yeah, it's called Starring Adam West. It's a documentary that James Tooley's been working on for some time now. He's been following Adam around with cameras everywhere he goes.
How annoying is that for you?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's got to be horrible.
I don't care about stars on the sidewalk, for God's sake.
I know you don't, and you've always been incredibly modest about that, but it really is so offensive to the rest of us who are Adam West fans and have been our whole lives that you don't have a star, and that's why, you know, you remember a couple years ago, we threw our full support behind it to try to make it happen, and you saw how far that got us. So maybe James's approach is going to work a little bit better on. But the problem is the cloak of secrecy down there in Hollywood at the Chamber of Commerce, whoever it is behind it. It's not like they give you any hints. They don't tell you, hey, we're thinking about it. I mean, you don't know anything until the list comes out, right?
Well, I guess so, Ralph. I mean, or was that Lisa May?
That was Lisa.
Totally.
Yeah, that was Lisa.
Anyway, I guess somebody hates me. I don't know.
Well,
we're not
going to stop trying, Adam. You know, we're going to keep going again this year.
At some point, we're just going to go down there and dig up the sidewalk ourselves and put in our own star. I mean, apparently that's what's going to take.
Oh, that'll make a great piece of film.
Yes. Now, this weekend, you've got the Wizard World's Comic-Con and Pop Culture Expo coming to Anaheim this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to be there?
I'm going to try to stop by and say hi.
Well, that's good.
Because for a Batman fan, it is one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to see sort of a reunion from the old gangs getting back together again.
Well, maybe twice in a lifetime, because I'm other places as well.
Right, but you got you, and you got Burt Ward will be there as well, and Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather, two of your cat women, will be there.
Yes, it's very challenging.
Yeah, I was thinking, Adam, now that the show is in reruns again, finally syndicated on the Hub channel on cable and satellite, you can see the show. Are you getting a lot younger viewers coming up to meet and say hi and get on?
You know, I hate to be self-serving, but it is amazing. I mean, with Family Guy and SpongeBob and all the other stuff I do, and now, you know, Hub having Batman back and it's their number one show.
Yeah.
The mail. My God, I got a card last week from Finland.
How about that? Wow.
No, it's really gotten great response.
Are you, it has to be so strange for you and Bert. You have to be sitting next to yourself, you know, next to each other at a table there, and you just have to wink and go, who would have ever thought the day we were putting on the tights in 1966 that we would be signing autographs and people would be lined up around the convention center to get a signature from us in 2011? It just must be something that's so amazing that the two of you have shared.
Well, it's just strange to be Adam and Bert.
First of all.
Yes.
Well,
I'm really grateful for this, you know, all of the people who come see me, because they're great fans, as you are, Ralph, and you've been so nice to me.
Thank you, sir.
And Kevin and Bean and Lisa May, and you'll get the money in the next mail.
Next mail. Okay, because right. It is a little late.
Well, let me give out the information. The event is coming up. It's the Wizard World's Comic-Con Pop Culture Expo. It's coming to the Anaheim Convention Center starting April 29th. That's this Friday through May 1st. And it's an unbelievable lineup. I mean, of course, you're a Batman fan. But listen, Battlestar Galactica's Tricia Helfer is going to be there from Star Wars. Ray Park is going to be there. You've got stars from everything from Richard Roundtree of Shaft to, you know, actors from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Dollhouse and Machete. It just goes on and on and on. So it really is a fantastic event for people to get down and kind of meet the heroes of film and TV, and also comic books. Ralph, I'm sure you saw on the list, there's a lot of people who have written comic books over the years are going to be there, too.
Yeah, it really is one of the biggest events for comic book and sci-fi fans of the year, so it's a great chance to get down to Anaheim and meet a lot of these people. Adam, are you doing the whole weekend, or which days are you going to be there? People want to come
be
by.
There. Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. Go to wizardworld.com for information on the event. And, of course, it's adamwest.com for all things going on great with our friend Adam West. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm going to send you my new comic book.
Oh, that's right. The Adventures of Adam West is
the
coming.
The Misadventures of Adam West. You'll love it.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for today. What's going on, Ralph?
Thank you, Mug, for turning up my paparazzi sound effect.
Anytime, sir.
Finally got around to that. I appreciate it. Love is in the air in the world of showbiz. Rob Schneider. Funny man Rob Schneider.
Hmm.
You remember him from such hilarious movies as...
Well, he's in every Adam Sandler movie.
Right. So, then...
What was that one called with all those people in it? Come on.
Grown-ups?
Grown-ups. Yeah, Rob Schneider from Grown-ups.
That wasn't funny, though.
Oh.
He was Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Of course he was, yeah.
Then he was Deuce Bigelow, European gigolo, I think.
Right, right.
He was also the hot chick.
He was the hot chick, that's right. He was the animal, too, wasn't he? The mammal,
yes, he was.
Or whatever the hell.
Yes,
yeah.
He was.
Anyway, he's married now. He married Patricia Arce, A-R-C-E. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce her last name. Got married Saturday in a private ceremony in Beverly Hills. By the way, I've seen a photo of Patricia, and she is way hot.
Well, sure, yeah. Rob Schneider's a big star. Look, he doesn't do the kinds of movies that I go to, but
right.
We had him on the show. He's a very funny and very nice man.
Okay.
I like him a lot.
What did I say? What did I say against the man? Why are you defending him so vehemently?
I heard a little bit of this from you, Ralph Garman.
Well, I'm just
heard
saying.
Some of that.
It's not for us.
Not a good,
big hit movie star. Just saying. Kristen Cavallari of Laguna Beach. She got engaged to quarterback of your Chicago Bears, Jay Cutler, this weekend. Jay Cutler threw her a pass. She dropped it, and he bitched and complained and cried about it. So. Cabo San Lucas apparently is where he popped the question. They've been dating since last fall. No word on when exactly they'll be getting married, but... A lot of babies in the news as well. Kevin James' wife, Stefiana, gave birth to their third child, a boy named Cannon. Cannon with
I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
Well, still, it's Cannon with a K. You care more now?
That does sound like a name that came out of planet Krypton.
Cannon. Also having a baby this weekend was Toni Collette. She and her husband... welcomed Arlo, their son Arlo, on Friday. They already have a three-year-old daughter named Sage.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, they do not.
Were all of her personalities pregnant at the same time?
I believe they were. Especially
isn't that weird?
Look at that trucker dude. He was upset.
The dude had a baby, too.
He was not happy. However, perhaps pregnancy isn't something every Hollywood star should aspire to. Just ask Jessica Alba.
Ooh.
She says, sure, she may look like a perfect 10 on the outside with clothes on, but she says her body just isn't the same after experiencing childbirth. She told the New York Post that she's got lumpy cellulite now that she never had before, and now she's got saggy breasts.
Don't talk about that in an interview, Jessica Alba.
Since welcoming her two-year-old daughter, Honor, to the family. So
why would she share that information with us?
To make women feel better.
Just so she can be one of us. They're just like us, celebrities.
Right. I like her better
when
she's...
in the magazine. They're just like us.
But she's Jessica Alba. Her job is to be hot, not to say things that make me think she's not.
She's plenty hot. From a distance. Just don't get too close. That's all.
You know, a baby conceived out of wedlock is still a bastard.
I don't think that has anything to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, I don't think Jessica Alba's married to the dude, is she?
Yeah, she's married to Cash Warren.
Is she married to Cash Warren?
Yes, she is. Boston Rob Mariano's got a new gig. I'm telling you something. I know you're not watching Survivor this season, but you are missing out.
Really?
It's a great, great season of Survivor. There's a crazy black dude on there named Philip who thinks he's a secret agent, and it's just awesome. He walks around in his pink underwear all day long and wears a feather on his head. Are you in now? Interested now?
Are you sure his name's not Cannon with a K as a private eye?
No, it's Philip.
Huh.
And he is a former Secret Service agent who is crazy.
Why does he walk around in the underwear? Just to keep all of his competitors off balance?
No, because he seems to be comfortable. And they're like really old, saggy, tighty-whities, but look like they were washed with like a red shirt. So they're sort of pinkish. And he believes he can commune with his dead relatives when he meditates. Okay. And so he wears a feather that he found that he thought was a signal from his grandfather strapped to a band around his forehead. Dude has gone bye-bye.
They have always had a nice job of finding contestants for that show.
But Boston Rob is just kicking ass on that show. He's back again. He's competing again.
Is this like
season.
His third or fourth time
I think
on Survivor?
His third time, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he is just running things on that island, I'll tell you. But he's got a new gig with the History Channel. It's a show called Around the World in 80 Days. And it will take Rob, as you can imagine from the title, traveling around the world in 80 days using 80 different modes of transportation, never repeating the same one.
Okay.
Interested?
No.
I think that could be interesting.
No.
All right.
No.
I stand corrected. Rob Pattinson wants you to know he isn't always the mild-mannered young person he seems to be on the outside. He claims he's got quite the temper. And is constantly trying to keep his emotions under control.
He does an excellent job.
Yes, he does, Lisa.
He is
I'm just
seething.
Looking for a pulse at this point.
He's seething.
Is he alive?
He says he is constantly stressed out, but he likes to believe that he can keep his emotions under control. And it's just plain silly to lose control. That's why he tries to maintain a calm demeanor.
Okay.
Well, mission accomplished, Rob Pattinson.
No kidding.
I'm so very angry right now. I'm going to... Oh, look at me. I'm beside myself with emotion.
He does look like he's ready to explode.
Yes, he does. And Ryan Phillippe may be done with the limelight. Told the New York Post that he's planning to end his acting career. He says he wants to work now behind the scenes. Wants to maybe write or direct. And plans to spend at least one-third of every year in Manhattan so he can get away from the paparazzi scene in Los Angeles. He's had enough. I will take whatever jobs Ryan Phillippe is turning down. I just want to let everyone know.
How come good actors like Ryan Phillippe are walking away from it, yet they've got all the movies in the world for Rob Schneider?
That's the truth. As we're talking about good actors, let's take a look at Sean Penn and his relationship with his girlfriend Scarlett Johansson. Friends tell Star Magazine that Scarlett was offended recently when Sean suggested she should go running with him, which in her opinion was tantamount to him saying, you could lose a few pounds. Is that true, Lisa? Is that what the guys do when they want you to lose weight?
Yes, that's what we tell them to do.
Come work out with me.
Mm-hmm.
We can share some special time together
exactly.
On the treadmill.
She looks like she's gained weight.
Your giant ass.
That has been our advice to listeners, is to say to your partner, I need to lose weight. Will you go with me to help?
Well, now we know Sean Penn listens to the show. That's nice. And this was interesting. Came from Adweek magazine. They have listed the top 10 most successful and influential magazines of the year. I didn't know people still read magazines. But apparently some of them are quite big business, especially when it comes to advertising. Vanity Fair was 10th on the list. Then Business Week, Rolling Stone magazine was only 8th. I thought it would be higher. Cosmopolitan was 7th. People Style Watch, not regular people, but People Style Watch. Apparently is still a good source for advertisers who want to reach a certain demographic. GQ was 5th. Wired was 4th. Elle Decor was 3rd. Marie Claire was 2nd. And the number one most successful in terms of advertising magazine in America. Can you imagine what number one is?
I don't have any idea.
You won't
guess. I'm going to take a stab, but I have no idea.
Take a
Cosmopolitan.
Stab. No, I said that was number 7.
Oh, Vogue? You did. I'm sorry.
Stick around, Bean. We're doing a show here. Pay attention.
Playboy.
Vogue?
Nope, not Playboy, not Vogue.
Entertainment Weekly?
No, sir. Food Network Magazine.
What?
Food Network Magazine.
What?
All right, we got it. You're incredulous. Is the number one pick of our advertisers in terms of reaching their demographic.
I don't have any information to base this on, but since Kevin's not here, this is going to be my job. I don't believe you and you're wrong.
In the past 2 years, circulation has increased 1.3 million readers.
What?
Just saying, a lot of people are reading it. And I guess if you're selling food products, that would be a tailor-made magazine for those people, right? They're already junkies. They're watching the Food Network. Because
now they're reading the magazine.
They're honked up on food, and now they're reading the magazine. So just
what?
I'm just saying that. I thought that was fascinating.
today's celebrity birthdays. Jordana Brewster's 31 years old today. Channing Tatum celebrates his 31st as well. Actor Tyler Labine is 33. Tom Welling, who is currently in the final season of Smallville over there on the WB.
He's pretty dreamy.
He is.
He's pretty dreamy. I think you could agree with me on that. Yeah.
I am no Mo, but I could walk across the other side of the street for Tom Welling. You know what I'm saying?
And I believe he is better looking today than when he started in Smallville.
Yes, he's matured into a very, very handsome man.
Okay, boys.
He's ready to be Superman.
Are you starting to get uncomfortable, Lisa?
In fact, him and Erica Durance, who plays Lois Lane in that show, I think that's a couple right there, those two.
What?
Just let me just watch. That's all I'm saying.
What?
And final season, 10 seasons of Smallville. Can you believe it's been 10 years that show's been on the air? He's going to be Superman soon.
Yep.
T-Boz is 41. I didn't mention Tom Welling's 34 years old today. T-Boz is 41. Jet Li.
Hi!
Hey!
Celebrates his 48th birthday, and actress Carol Burnett is 78. And all morning long, and I blame Dave the King of Mexico for this, because he's the one who makes my little birthday list together. All day long, I have missed out on the opportunity to wish the lovely and talented Stana Katic a happy birthday. She played...
What's up?
She, of course, is opposite Nathan Fillion on Castle, one of my favorite TV shows, and it's her birthday today. And Dave dropped the ball.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, but as always, it's not his fault. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. And thanks to everybody for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. We will be back tomorrow with an all-new program. And I don't like to brag. I don't like to lie. I don't like to tell you something that's not true. But I think tomorrow may be the best and the biggest show ever. Because check this out. Our friend Jay Moore, funny man Jay Moore, when he shows up, there's no one funnier than Jay Moore.
Right,
right.
Right.
Adam
we have
Carolla.
Bill Burr ready just in case.
Adam Carolla, the Ace Man, joins us tomorrow because it is Wednesday, the week in Rage. Our old friend Rob Dyrdek is stopping by today, talking Fantasy Factory with new season on MTV. Tomorrow, yes, yeah. Tomorrow, right?
Wow, we're going long.
We have
Dyrdek's coming in.
He'll be here around 5 p.m. It's going to be a long day.
Okay.
We haven't caught up with Henry Rollins in a long time. But that punk legend is going to be on with us. He apparently is as part of a Nat Geo special called Wild About Snakes. Henry Rollins is going to be on talking about snakes tomorrow.
No, he's not.
It does sound like Mad Libs.
Not going to happen.
We got a brand new internet roundup. We got more tickets for you to go see Thor ahead of an opening. We got the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices and a brand new song from Wing to debut. And we'll be talking to the beautiful New Zealand songstress herself.
Oh, yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
I know, right?
At least not
all
my
of
fault.
That tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Not my fault.